And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Claire, your independence from me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, A from the B, E-A-U-T, full studios of Freedoms with an Ass, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, okay, better than most. Okay, well, that took everything out of me. All right, this week we're going to have, Donna, go ahead and give me a list of all the wonderful peoples for the week. Tomorrow we're going to have Cody Drummond from Peacekeeper app is coming on. Peacekeeper is, I was real supportive of this from the beginning. They just started an Indiegogo for round two of funding. I think it's $100,000. I hope he gets it. You know, I think I might throw a little something-something because Peacekeeper is an application on your phone that eliminates all government forever and always. Well, at least all the big excuses for government. I'm not really sure what his motivation. I can't remember. You know, we talked about it and so on. There was something that happened. You know, this is what it does. Peacekeeper app, and I show you on my phone, but, you know, you go Peacekeeper. Now on the Play Store or whatever it is, you know, and or iOS, whatever their iTunes store or something. You get this application and you set it up and you have like, you know, intruder, abduction, you know, medical, fire, police. And it just has like four buttons, you know, the main things. Now imagine you have a heart condition. Oh, I got to talk about that. My nephew, 33 years old, had a mild heart attack. And I'm going, you think it might be them six beers every night and all the food and 280 pounds of kind of, you know, and living like, you know, and he's got a health nut wife, you know, beautiful, kind of, he's just works 12-hour days and goes hard. And I'm going, yeah, did we get a lesson or what? You know, so he's on the straight and narrow now, man. He's like, yes, boss, I'd be eating good, you know. So he's already within a week, he's like, damn, I can feel like this. I did not know this. You know, I did not know, you know, IV and, you know, fast food would do this to you, you know. So anyway, so we'll talk about that. But the and in suggestions I would have the people of this generation next of, man, let me tell you what, the guy with some gray learned, you know, it's, you know, eat right, you know, that's like number one thing. A lot of stuff, just crap out there. I mean, damn, it's like it's on purpose or something. So Peacekeeper, what it does is you go and you say, all right, this is my heart condition or something. You put in, you know, maybe some detail. You go, you know, I got a dog, you know. So when you hit abduction or invasion or something like that, instead of calling 911 that takes for, you know, whenever, and they come shoot your dog, it's my friends and neighbors have the ability to come over and know what to bring. Do I bring a fire extinguisher? Do I bring a firearm? Do I bring a defibrillator? Do I bring, you see my point? So, and they know the layout of your home. They know who lives there. They know who's supposed to be there. They kind of got a bead on what's what. And they know which dog's yours, you know? So I see this as a really, because the biggest discussion is always, yeah, but what about, well, you'll want the man when there's somebody at the door or somebody breaking in or you got a fire or you're in need or you got, yeah, you know, I'd want some help. You know, government came up with the 911 thing, you know, make it easy instead of remembering phone numbers you had by the refrigerator of poison control or something. So, 911, you know, come hit me. I'm falling, I can't get up. So, they I guess I don't know. When you put on hold on 911, man, it just like it kind of takes away the edge of them being beneficial. So this Peacekeeper app, it allows the people to take care of themselves and organize by friends, family, neighbors. Now, when I bring this up, to like Oath Keepers, or you have different people that want to prepare for fill in the blank, I'm going, yeah, there's an app, but what else should I have? Well, of course, they want the training, and you want to be able to operate as a unit and defend, yada, yada, yada. But I'm going, really what it comes down to is family, friends, neighbors, and how much you organize and how you, that's going to happen on its own. It needs to be an option in the app, so you got a Peacekeeper app. Well, this is going to be interesting to see how supported this is. I want to do, Cody Drummond's going to come on, tomorrow. He was scheduled today, but he launched the Indiegogo, and I think he's busy. So he worked it out with Donna. He'll be on the first hour tomorrow. It's first hour, right? Tomorrow? He'll be on in the first hour tomorrow. And I'm hoping that we can get a really clear understanding of the political and social ramifications of such a thing. Because in the video, I mean, it does a good job, and this is kind of how, but it doesn't get into the philosophy of it, into the impact of it, into the anti-Jade Helm of it. because all this stuff is why they need us. Well, what happens? I got an app for that. Yeah, but I got an app for that. But what happened? I got an app for that. I need a ride. Uber has saved a lot of people in metropolitan areas, has saved people lots of money. Their biggest thing, I don't have to have a car anymore. It's just so convenient, so easy, and so fast that I don't need a car anymore. So now you find the guy that did Uber is one of the gazillionaires now. I'm another young gazillionaire at the meetings. Well, I'll tell you what the meetings are. They show up with their kids walking around DARPA robots. Robotics has been, a big thing. There was a university robotic program. 40 of the top robotic engineers were just taken by various different companies. Just gone. Thanks. Academia is gone. University system gone. This started in earnest the last few years with Peter Thiel going, hey, I'll give you $100,000. Not go to college. Don't do it. Don't waste your time. So I'm going, wow, man, it's a trend. And how do you ride this trend? What do you do in this trend? What do you provide for the trend? There is, when we go to Pork Fest next week, there's, I think it's Thursday. It's Wednesday or Thursday that we have planned a roundtable. We'll just open up the audience. That's going to be a lot of how to, economically position yourself for the coming whatever. Freedom, is it going to be able to pay? Is it a value? Having freedom does, being the freedom to just be left alone, do what you want, do that. But advocating for it, does that ever pay? Is there a special interest for freedom? What's the special interest for freedom? Now, you would think it'd be in everybody's self-interest. It's the general welfare. When they started talking about, for the general welfare, well, the general welfare was freedom. I mean, that's how I read it. When I first, you read their stuff, you look at it, okay, what's the general welfare? Freedom. The general welfare is produced by, being left aloneism. And I'm going, okay, but they turned that into, no. The general welfare is what the committee said it was. We tell you what your best interests are, as opposed to giving you the freedom for you to figure it out for yourself. This was a mind screw. This was a, took that whole freedom experiment America thing off the rails and said, if we leave it on rails, it's going to go to the gulag. If you don't do what we tell you. So I'm going, okay. So how do we deal with it? I tell you what it is. It's breeding them out. It's children and grandchildren. It's how can you have children in a time like this? Hell, that's when you have children. You go, don't do this. Do this. Be inspired by that. All right. We're going to be talking about a lot of inspiration. We'll go over the news because, damn, a weekend goes by and you're like, damn, that happened? So we'll probably just share a lot of that in this first hour. Yeah, I got a list of goodies, people coming on. I'll tell you about when we come back.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, the Empress producer, Donna Hancock, has hooked us up. Okay, in the next hour, I knew I had, I recognize the name, whatever, kind of, you know, who's, I go, oh, David Bigo, this is awesome, awesome, because what happens, how I produce is, you know, I'm whatever the issues are, we know people that we've talked to before that knows this, like tomorrow, we have Susan Trimbath on, she's, uber, you know, this university, this college, this degree, these many initials after our name, I worked at San Francisco Fed, I mean, you know, it's kind of, we're going to get some economics, you know, this is, she's going to hook us up, and I have a lot of questions. I may try and we put her in the third hour. I may have some bonus time. I want to ask everything because I'm just, you look at the news and it's just, what do you believe? It's just a bunch of blah, 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 and it changes the next day. So this is why I haven't really focused on Greece. You know, I know that it's all PR. It's a game. Greece is like, yeah, we're not doing it anymore. Yeah, but you always go, yeah, we consider it reparations for World War II, you damn Nazis, okay? You know, how much do we owe you? Well, take that off the bill of, you know, whatever. So I'm going, it changes every day. And then you got China coming out saying, yeah, the debtor nations. Oh, yeah, what was the headline here? I was going to do this just last week. China slams G7 for being debtor nations. I mean, there's all these debtor nations. Oh, yeah. And who are you in debt to? To us! We're China! You know, you come together, give us crap, and you do that, but when we gave you all that money? Seriously? You guys want to play this game? You know? And we still had enough money left over to build the Navy. Oh, and they test-fired a hypersonic missile. So this is a missile that, man, it's a ballistic, you know, but it goes several times the speed of sound, and it's like, you know what? We were going to shoot it down, but it already hit us by the time we saw it, you know? So this is not good. They have a bunch, they're going, look, we'll take out your entire fleet in one salvo of missiles. Boom, and they're gone. Now what? It's going to be like in the movie Iron Sky. You have Nazis on the dark side of the moon, you know, is invading and coming. And the Sarah Palin president character, she gets up for all these countries, kind of their little mini war room, international, UN, whatever the heck it is. And they get up and they say, yeah, here it comes. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Oh, well, we got a little surprise. Well, we thought that was a scientific platform of a blah, blah. You know, you weren't going to weaponize it. What? You didn't weaponize? Well, we weaponized ours, and then you find out all the other countries had, they start pulling out all their missiles and everything, and their deploying of their spaceship turns into a robo-killer, whatever the heck. But she's going, yep, got it, right here. And surprise, and here we are to save the day. And this is what's going to happen. There's going to be some kind of big, and the U.S. is going, oh, you didn't know about our secret whiz-bang, you know, Death Star on the light side of the moon. You know, I put nothing past them. Them those won't leave me alone. So I'm just, how do we counter this stuff? You know, not buy into their crap. I just, there's so many things I'll look at. The propaganda. When I start doing the site and we send the staff to put up and we got Freedom's Phoenix, there's like a lot of stuff. You know, I'll give you a wide radar screen. But there are some things that I just refuse to put up. I mean, it's just some propaganda. We're going to Durka Durka Jihad and they and the children of and kind of, I'm just going, no, I mean, that's titillating. And that would be of interest. And some people, it's just feeding into the negative waves. It's which wolf do you feed? It was one of the things of Tomorrowland that they trying to, you know, optimism. And the way the story went is it goes, you know, there's two wolves. You know, one's darkness and mean and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. One's the light and kind of good. Which one survives? The one you feed. You know, quit feeding the negative waves, man. That's why we look at the positive solutions to a lot of these problems. So I go, wow, that's a problem. They go, the problem, yeah, but we could have, you know, drug gangs coming across the border and the terrorism of the yada yada. I'm going, well, I mean, I can see problem solved a couple of ways. One, do away with the drug war. And two, quit building an empire and you wouldn't piss people off. Sounds like that'd be a lot easier to accomplish than all this other crap of whiz-bang robot self-driving new Hummer replacement Jeep thing. You know? Seriously? So I do put that. They're going to replace the Hummer. And they have, it's like a little MRAP. I mean, now they have these anti- mine-resistant vehicles, and they're going, you know what? We need to, can we scale that down to a little Hummer thing? And I'm going, the Hummer replaced the Jeep. And this wasn't too long ago. This is, you know, while I was, when was it, the 80s, I guess. So when they came out and replaced the Jeep with something like the Hummer that had a lot more capability and was kind of cool, but it was just a get from here to there and transport and cool, because that was what was, you know, very popular about the Jeep in World War II. Eisenhower was like, man, the Jeep is awesome. You know, you get around and all this horse crap. You know, the Jeeps are cool. So, you know, and then you had the deuce and a half and the big troop carrying truck beach landing stuff. But I'm going, yeah. Now what would replace the Hummer? They need armored, mine resistant, come kick your butt, you can't get us vehicles. Why? Because people don't like being occupied. And just like we're seeing military equipment coming home here from all these wars, you know, it's going to start seeing Hummers replaced with these freaking mini MRAP kind of, you know what, they look a lot like these armored personnel, the militarized police thing. You know, it's just they're already starting to, they have three of them. We had it on Freedom's Phoenix. I bet you it's still on there, you know, or maybe page two. So one thing, a lot of you guys at the top left, it says more news, or you get below the news where you get to the original articles on Freedom's Phoenix, it'll say page two. You go to that, and it's just a chronology, everything that's rolled off of the front page. And it's just, I mean, it goes on and on and on for 200,000 chronologically ordered back into the day. That's why we had to separate it by category, too. And I go, damn, And I'd be overwhelmed. So you go into a category and be overwhelmed and stuff. So we're going to go ahead and keep putting up, you know, feed the good wolf. Yeah, we'll get some news on the bad wolf, but I mean, you know, it's more understanding. That's what the show's about. I mean, they get some people, I know all the rhetoric that's going out there. I know what they're trying to get us to do. They're trying to make us afeard. They're trying to manipulate us into a whatever, and you vote for this guy, hell to vote, you know, to do. We get the feeling that we have a choice, you know. I go, I understand. Where's the solution? So we focus on the solution, because, damn, too much. And that was one thing about Tomorrowland, solution. So I feel good about that. Okay, as I go through this stuff, and I say, I'll go, yeah, it's time to talk to that guy. Yeah, it's time to talk to that guy. One of the things I had told Don, I go, David Beagle, I go, yeah, it's time to talk to him. Let me tell you what the story was. He owned a large janitor business in the Midwest and was targeted by the unions. They made an example out of him. They're going to give him one fur. And he wrote a book, The Devil at My Doorstep. Now, the reason I wanted to talk to him about this is because this is going to be coming now in the 2016 election cycle. It's going to be a union versus thing. You're going to see it through the Hillary campaign of, here we go. So, it's going to be a good show today.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
D.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay. We're going to be talking tomorrow. Also, we have in the first hour Cody Drummond, Peacekeeper. Then we have Tim Coomber, all right, promoting the SAFE Network and what it means to content providers and artists and, you know, the planet and so on. The SAFE Network is coming, getting close to being turned on. And I emphasize this, you know, with you guys, because I know how monumentally different the world is going to be with tech like this. It's going to change everything. And it's why we don't invest so much time. We have the infrastructure there. We do the Instagram and the Pinterest and the Twitter and the Facebook and all that kind of, but I don't really focus a lot. Like, I find out from, you know, my kids that my nephew, my sister that's like a year younger than me, and then I have one that's like 3 years younger than me, and her son, which is 33, had a mild heart attack. And it's not a big, giant surprise to anybody. You know, he gained a lot of weight. He got big. And his brother, too, that live here. And they just, you know, they're just big, you know, strong guys. You know, they, you know, won, like, for a hobby, cage fights. I mean, seriously, you know. But he and his family, he just had his, I think he's on his fifth kid. I mean, damn. And then Curtis, he adopted a girl and raised and wants to see her grow up. And all of a sudden, he's like, he and his wife, you know, she's all health nut and everything. And then all of a sudden, he's like, yeah, mild heart attack. And I'm going, yeah, well, this is like a big shock to nobody, right? You know, so he's getting religion. So I'm glad that we have a lot of research. I got a lot of things that I can send him. And he's on the right path. And I tell you, you talk to him and all the kids, first thing they're doing, they have nutritionists, not doctors. You know, they have, you know, naturopaths, not MDs. They have, I mean, of course, they, you know, because Obamacare and everything, you know, we have to have insurance, but they spend a bunch of money on their own health because that doesn't work. They're not doing anything for them. An entire generation of, yeah, that's not true, I don't know, here and buy this pill. And we're finding out that I had no idea. When you prescribe medication, the kickback can be up to 70% or more. You know, just prescribe it. It doesn't cost us anything to make it. We'll give you this big, giant chunk of, you get the vacation, you know? So I am like, wow, this whole healthcare industry thing is going to come unraveled. And it's not because they're not going to mandate payment or you got it, whatever. It's just, you know, people can't afford it. They refuse to do it. Then even when they're in it, they're still out of it. They're having to go somewhere else for their information. We've accumulated a lot. You know, go our category healthcare or food. You know, food is probably better than the healthcare category. But a lot of times it gets split between. You won't miss too much because we'll put them in both categories. But the I don't know what everybody's telling you. It's nutrition. Blah, 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 nutrition. He goes, I know. You know, for the past week, he's been, you know, eating what his wife does and kind of, you know, not hitting the fast food joint twice a day. And, kind of, you know, he's just like, man, I feel a lot better. I mean, I was feeling bad. I go, good. You know, he's got religion now, man. He's all over it. So when we come back from our trip in mid-July, we're having a big, because Father's Day is while we're gone. And so we're just going to have all the fathers, get a bunch of fathers now, you know. So we're all going to have a nice, you know, pool party and the family and kind of just the family, which will be a billion people. But the so all the little kids and all that, hey, you know, can we survive? So I'll have some conversation with them because by then, you know, it's like 2 days after that is when Jade Helm starts. So I guess July 12th, we're going to, you know, just have a pool party and everybody come over and we just chill. And then a couple days after, so I guess that's a Sunday. So I guess it's like Tuesday, Wednesday or whenever this Jade Helm thing is supposed to, you know, start officially, the starting pistol goes. Or the howitzer. And I'm going, okay, so when that starts, what do we have in mind? Well, Porkfest is awesome for this very thing. Go and talk to the people we do shows on. We'll go, okay, if we do the trash can flyer thing, we're going to announce and direct to something and kind of political judo these guys and get some information to be, made you look, made you look. And people go to a website, what would you have there? If I have thousands and thousands and tens of thousands and trash can flyers and kind of we search your trash, Jade Helm kind of made you look thing, you know, we do that kind of a political spoof deal, and they're not going to like it none too much. You know, they'll something. They're going to something. You know, Ernie needs something. You know, we're going to target something. You know, so that, whatever. But, so, can't be afraid. So, we do that. What would you put on there? Oh, we went through your trash, and we looked for this, and you got to get your mandatory or whatever and turn in and list of and kind of check here. And all the stuff that we'll put on there is true. There are programs for it. We can even start listing, and we can quote, put in quote stuff, kind of use it in the narrative of the story of the spoof. And when you do that, when you go finally get them, go to aztiphotline.info, what is it? Oh, my goodness. What are we going to see? I see something. I got to say something to who and to whom, and it's right. And what's there? Buy a solar panel? Get an aquaponics? You know, and what? Peacekeeper? Sidekick, you know, a lot of these different apps. What do you do? What do you pro? What's the solution? What's the positive way? What wolf are we going to feed? See my point? So I'm just like, it's wolf feeding. And if you can use humor to feed the right wolf, so. I mean, it's all kind of, you can use, you know, satire and just, you know, make you think. You know, a little critical thinking getting involved. You know, use that, you know, convert it into something else. I am tomorrow morning, we're finishing up right out that wall right there. I mean, within like 8 feet of me right here. We're putting in a parallel electrical system. We're starting to take some of the breakers off for this studio. We're going to run the whole thing off solar and batteries. Now, the reason that we're doing it the way we are is I don't want to tie into the grid or backfeed or get into their crap. You know, but if I can have it to where I can isolate certain circuits and what time and when and so on, you know, just, you know, high use, I mean, 15 gazillion computers in here or whatever. If I can do that, you know, and do it with a trailer unit that I can take with me. So we have, well, you have an automatic device of a flipper switcher thing that could go in there and automatically. I go, no, I don't want that. I want a manual. I go out there and I go, thunk. And it goes. I could go either way. I can go with the grid, or I can go with the backup and the solar and the so on. I'm like, we'll just do it that way. Well, why you want to do that? Because I don't want to be on there kind of messing excuses of bite me. Because I want to demonstrate, can I collect my own photons, convert to electrons, and use them in my home? Without having to be isolated from their grid, can I do that? And without having to get a permission slip or, you know, bother with anybody, can I do that? Why say I can't? Well, did you check? Nope, didn't look. Not backfeeding onto their thing. It's isolated. It's when it's on my solar thing, it's totally isolated from that. Pulled the switch. The only way it works is I go flip, and it's on this. Can I do that? Well, did you what? I want to find out. I'm going to be public about it, because then I'm going to be able to just unplug it there, and I take it with me on the trailer. I got my entire load that I need. If I need more, I just add more panels the way that we're doing it, according to them out. I got plenty of room. I got enough to, you know, what they have on top of homes, I could have on this one trailer 2-3 times that, and it's hardly any extra weight. What's really going to come down is the battery. Now, what batteries do we use? Now, the nickel iron experiments that we're doing and everything, they're starting to, you know, kind of backslide a little bit. You know, they haven't gone. I'm going to be checking and seeing that if they start, then I do my quantum reality thing. I go, if I make an effort, I take one more step. I go, okay, we're going to go ahead and found the right plastic that we can extrude and 3D print with. You know, the blue stuff doesn't work. Potassium hydroxide just kind of dissolves that. It's really base, and it just, you know, that doesn't work. So ABS, I think it's a ABS plastic works. So I'm going, okay, so we'll go ahead and do that, and we'll make the kind of build it and kind of, I make one little effort. I start that step. I go and resurrect the battery pack. Start getting ready. I got a place to put it, kind of how many cells are we, and then it's done. Why? Because you just start. Every time I start pushing the button, here it comes. You know, I'm like, yeah. So we're working on it. Solution. Oh, yeah, the tilapia had a bunch of babies. Hundreds. I'm going, damn, I don't have much tilapia now. What'd we do right?
Anarchy in my primaries?
The
That's right. This year at Porcupine Freedom Festival, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Bitcoin Op Bombs have joined forces to bring you candidates that truly represent the depraved voting populace. Ready for gridlock? We are too. The Vote for Nobody primary will feature Megatron, Cthulhu, and Team Guillotine. Whatever your major malfunction, rest assured, there's a candidate for you. By us, who will never let you down. This is a primary that pays you for your well-wasted time through a coin-operated voting machine. With any luck, you'll get change you can collect. Primaries don't have to be boring, and you don't have to be bitter about broken promises. Don't settle for the lesser evil. Come by Vending Site 41 at Porkfest to pull the lever and gamble away your vote, just like the founders intended.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Break free from your lies, 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 lies. Okay, lies. Now, you heard the commercial Megan did from Roberts & Roberts on our participating and overlapping. We haven't talked a lot about it because a lot of it's kind of secret, you know. We're gonna have a presence at Porkfest. Well, one of the things that we're doing is a premium Wi-Fi. You know, we're still working it out, and because I don't want to do it if it's just gonna piss everybody off. I mean, you know, hey, I paid for it, or I got it, and it doesn't work, and kind of go no. You know, if we're gonna do Wi-Fi, we microwave it in. We're gonna do it because we need to have good Wi-Fi. It's a real pain in the butt. So I go, you know, I'll sponsor Wi-Fi. We need it for the machines that we got doing Bitcoin stuff. It's a secret, the Metalith, all the things for all the money. It's like the money lift that we did before, and that, you know, Derek's work, that's secret, okay? There'll be, you know, space 44. You go down, it's at the end down towards the pavilion in Agora Valley there. We're right on the end cap and kind of got a couple of spaces there. We're going to have some fun. And we're not going to be participating in a lot of, you know, stuff. I think Tim is helping Buzz with the big gay dance party, you know, and wants to make sure some people, you know, get there and so on. You know, Tim's always good to make sure everybody's having a good time. And so we're working together, you know, and Davi and Drew, Bitcoin Not Bombs, has got some great ideas, and we kind of, you know, helped with all that. And Derek really pimped out the Metalith that's got, I don't know how much I'm supposed to be talking about. You know, I think get Derek on. See if Derek will come on, you know, either today or whenever, and he wants to talk about it. I think he's about done with it. They're putting it. This was innovation for months. This is, you know, a lot of work went into providing an interface with the internet on a machine that does all kinds of stuff, and I don't want to tell until, you know, he says I can, because it's been kind of on the down low. So they have a slot machine that's a voting machine. That's what Megan was talking about. Come waste your money. Hey, you know, change I can keep. It pays. Roberts & Roberts comes up. Roberts & Roberts always pays. You know, is there going to be a law? I don't know. We weren't checking. Okay. What about vending machines? You put it, I don't know. We want to check it. What about stuff you go get and resell? I don't know. We didn't check. Okay. So this is kind of, you know, we'll see. You know, this is how free can you be? We'll see. How free can you be? We'll see. How free can you be? Well, it's up between the ears. And the first thing is, I'm not asking permission until somebody comes in. Oh, I see. It's a gun thing. Okay, I just want to know. Just want to make sure we're all on the same page here and see what's up. So we get, you know, a lot of information, you know, out of a lot of this stuff. And so we're going to have some activism there. Now, on the Wi-Fi, it's going to be premium. It's, you know, it's only like 6 megabyte download, which is fine if you're out doing whatever by yourself, but how many people can you put on that and get what you want? So we had to have a way on the router, had a bunch of, you know, hacker spaced 17-year-olds sitting there. We get the equipment for them, and they configure and do and whatever so that we can track and see and who's up. Oh, I'm sorry, watching too much porn. You know, we're not allowed to do 15 gazillion YouTubes. You know, you're not, you know, then you used up all your data. You know, done, next. Pay me again. So we'll do that. You get some high speed But it's only limited to so many people. And I'm thinking for the week, it'd be like $25 for 40 people. You know, I don't want to go. I'd rather have it limited, you know, and you know, still lose money on it. I mean, it's not going to be free bringing this stuff in. But I'm just going, you know, convenience. We're going to go check this out. Because I know if we do it, you know, and there's other people talking about it, and they're kind of, I don't think they realized, you know, we've been working on it for a while, what the need you had to have and the equipment and everything to be able to do this for the campground up there. Because Verizon, you know, my Verizon phone, I can get internet. I mean, it's doing pretty good. You know, if you do the rabbit thing and you stand on the rocked a certain way, I mean, you can get a pretty good signal. But to do this, we needed it for the Metalith. So I'm going, all right, well, let's see if we can, we'll sponsor, Femus Phoenix will sponsor the Wi-Fi, but I don't want to just make everybody angry. So we're going to charge for it, but limit it. So it's going to, you know, first ones, their win. So we're going to start announcing that. Now I'm going to start letting some people know, you know, friends, and say, okay, you know, you want good Wi-Fi for the week, you know, $25. But it's only limited to so many people. So we'll go ahead and see how that works out. This is going to be a good test for this. And I just didn't want to be, I go, no, we got to limit it. You know, we got to limit it by price. You know, we got to, you know, heck, I charge $100 or whatever, you know, to keep it down to, no, I, you know, only 10 people get it. It's $100. But, you know, we need to have quality Wi-Fi. And just, you know, you go there. And a lot of times it was kind of cool. You go to Porcupine Freedom Festival. Hey, I got no signal. Yay, I'm free. You know, we can go, you know, actually enjoy ourselves instead of having head down. Well, for me, it was especially, you know, when Alma was doing a lot of social networking stuff for us. She was just on my butt. More Instagram, more Instagram, more Instagram. So I'm going around taking pictures all the time. Hashtag, picture, hashtag. You know, I'm constantly in that. So I'm just, ugh. So we'll see what we do this time. But a lot of people, they need to do that, especially when they're going there and representing whatever group they are, or communicating with their followers and all that. They need quality Wi-Fi, or it's just, you know, the internet without that, you know, why'd they go? You know, in their mind, you know, they just, hey, man, I was going here to share this with my followers, and I can't. So I'm going, all right, there's plenty out of a couple thousand people. There's probably a couple of people that would pay for a quality signal, and we need it. Because Donna was going into town going looking for a McDonald's or Starbucks or something to be able to get a good signal to be able to upload the archive for the radio show. So it's just like, you know, she's not really vacationing. You know, she's traveling around Wi-Fi surfing all the time. So I'm going, all right, so we'll go ahead and do this, make her life easier too. So that's going to be available. Roberts & Roberts has a lot of cool stuff that they're doing, too. Then you have, and we have some marketing signs that'll be up. They'll have these, like, real estate sign things. They'll be all over the place, you know, showing where to go to get, you know, the premium packages and where the Metalith is. And we tried to, the machine, to stock it with, you know, you're going to have, we'll tell you about it. I tell you, we'll have Derek tell us about it. Because I don't know how much I'm sworn to secrecy. I probably told too much already. We've been working on this for a long time. And we've been doing a bunch of shirts. We had a bunch left over from different things. We kind of got the best ones, accumulated it. I got a bunch of the Love Not War shirts done because they're really popular and they go. And Mark Edge has one that's getting kind of ratty. And I told him, I said, look, man, I'll get you another one. And I was supposed to do it last year, and we ran out. I didn't have one for him. I didn't something. And I'm going, look, man, I'm going to do a bunch. I'm going to dump a whole bunch on Mark. I said, here. You know, this is, you know, I know you like this, and I like you wearing it, and, you know, pace. So we get, Mark, got you taken care of, man. I just finished them yesterday. But I have some other ones. Those are the gold ones. I need to have, you know, some black ones. We're going to have the black ones. But that's a pain in the butt to do, and one of the screens is kind of being, so I had to use a net, and yeah, whatever, you know, work. And I get that done today. I'm done. But yesterday, all weekend, we were packaging a bunch of stuff, and I have three big totes. I mean, big ones. I have to ship. Now, I shipped two, and we're going to take one with us on the plane because Derek wanted it, you know, on the weekend before Monday, because the shipping's not going to get there till Monday, and we'll stock all the stuff early in the week. But so I'm going, all the big banners and everything, so we had to ship those. I mean, I'm taking those with me, so we'll have them on the weekend. So these packages, they're at least $100 to $130 a piece to ship. And I'm going, wow, man, that's wow. So I go, look this up. You know, there's got to be kind of an Uber for shipping. And I know a lot of people have been talking about it, and there's some places that have it. And this one's called Roadie. You know, Donna's right now trying to get the guy on the show. And I'm going, yeah, get somebody from this company. I want to talk about this. This is exactly what I'm looking for. So when you have, they have Uber pickup, I mean, for pickup trucks. Remember, if you get a pickup truck, you're everybody's new best friend, especially when they got to move, okay? So who do I know has a pickup truck and a trailer? My trailer is wound up going out with everybody all the time for all kinds of stuff. So one of my nephews is moving this weekend, and we're like, okay, well, we're washing our hair then. But so he's like, I got 2 weeks. I'm good. We'll cover it ourselves. All right, fine. So a pickup truck that you can order, you know, I just need to take this couch over to whatever. You just go on Uber and go, need to do and send and get. No, there it is. What happens when I need to put a package across the country? Anybody else, is anybody want to have, hell, some of their gas paid? They got a few packages in the back seat and they're driving to freaking Maine or New York City or something. You know, how can you coordinate there? Take this tote, put it in your trunk, get there, and you got a rating of I always deliver. Done. And how much? $40. Deal. You know, you got a bunch of other pay. Whatever. You know, this is going to happen. It's already happening. Solutions. Solutions, solutions, solutions. Third hour, I got a bunch of stories up here. I mean, just a week. Just, you know, it's going to take all third hour just to get through this stuff. We're going to go through it really fast. But the next hour, oh, David Bago. This is going to be very interesting. You want to hear some news about what's going to happen in the 2016 election cycle? Well, this is what's going to help you understand the forces at play. We'll be right back.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keene in the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Tuesday, June 16th, 2015. Silver is trading at $16.02 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,183 per ounce. And according to BitcoinAverage.com, the average price of Bitcoin is $241. Antiwar.com reports UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is pushing for another humanitarian ceasefire in Yemen as the Geneva talks get underway, saying a two-week ceasefire for the start of Ramadan would allow large amounts of aid into the increasingly desperate country struggling under a Saudi-led naval blockade. The early news out of Geneva is not looking good, however, with the Saudi-backed exile government saying they are willing to discuss a limited ceasefire, but only if the Houthis agree to surrender every major city in the country as a condition. The Houthis have been pushing for an unconditional ceasefire and have been keen on restarting transitional talks, which effectively crumbled in January with the resignation of President Hadi, whose forces the Saudis are trying to reinstall militarily. The Hadi remnants don't appear keen to talk transition, however, at least not from their current weak position. While the first offer is obviously going to be rejected, the fact that the two sides both entered the talks at all shows a tacit recognition that a military victory simply is not going to happen, and that eventually they're going to have to come to terms. For over 35 years, Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted source for buying and selling your investment-grade precious metals. They also take Bitcoin for precious metal purchases and permanently removed the minimum purchase order for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts today for knowledgeable advice on investing and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 850-478-5270 or online at rrbi.co. UPI reports even though cannabis was legalized in Colorado, it has not been at the federal level. Therefore, companies can fire employees for using the substance, according to the Colorado Supreme Court. Brandon Coates, a quadriplegic medicinal cannabis patient, was fired in 2010 from his job as a telephone operator for Dish Network after testing positive for the substance. Dish never suggested Coates had worked stoned or used cannabis on the job, but dismissed him because of its no-tolerance policy for substances. Lawyers for Coates argued that Colorado law states it's illegal for workers to be terminated for participating in lawful activities off the job. A trial court and a court of appeals dismissed the claim, siding with this law are not protected by the statute. A statement on Coates' lawyer's website said the ruling, though devastating for them, was important because there is previously no legal precedent for how a company could handle an employee who uses medicinal cannabis.
David?
Yeah.
Hello, it's Ernie, man. I'm looking forward to this. Get updated on everything. This will be Donna, do me a favor, take the last interview segment that we did with him and put it in the second hour.
I did.
Oh, you already did? She's so smart. Okay, what we're gonna do is one. I want to get updated on how you've been treated and how is it going and how, because during this 2016 election cycle coming up with Hillary, whatever, you just know that they're going to be trying to make use of or something, you know, or are they kind of disappointed? I don't know who is their socialist flagship bearer of whatever for the unions. I'm sure that, you know, Hillary is, you know, first choice, or if not, I need to know why. So then you have the whole financial system around the pensions of these guys are going. So what are they going to do there? And the economy, the dollar out, your business, I mean, all that kind of stuff. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
So, well, what do you? Let's make a note real quick here. Some of the things you think we should be talking about. What's on your mind?
Well, I think we ought to, you know, talk about the connections between the union I fought, the SEIU, and this president, and the progressives, and what they're trying to do to this country, and you know, what I think the conservatives and that need to do in this country to stop this stuff, because it's very concerning. And and then, of course, my latest blog about the unions buying into the Republican Party out in California. It's scary stuff going on right now. You want me to call you Ernie or Ernest?
I don't care. Doesn't matter. That, you're talking about the calipers thing?
Huh?
The teacher union deal that's going on in California? Are they nuzzling up the Republicans? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's well, it's some of the unions, but it's the SEIU, the one I fought, they're the ones leading the charge. They're pouring money into the Republicans' campaign funds and into individual candidates, Republican candidates out.
All
right. It's getting ugly out there.
All right.
And by the way, you know, my newest book I see on your website.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Here we go.
News Network.
Okay.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! 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 Oh, declaring our independence right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, A from the B, E-A-U-T, full studios of Freedoms of the Now, Stream of Phoenix, .com, David Bigo. This is going to be interesting. You know, I did not know that David has another book coming out, and I think we were confused it was the same one, because the first one, we talked, show it right here, The Devil at My Doorstep. I read this, I'm like, man, I was like, damn, okay? This is, he had a business, or has a business, it's a janitorial service, and you know, it's large, lots of employees, and this CI unions, okay, they came in, they said, oh, we're gonna explain it to you, we're gonna make an example of you, and they pulled out all the dirty tricks, and he just said no. So he documented the entire process of dealing with the unions and what they're willing to do and to do to this country and everybody. Now, let me ask David. Now, David, you know, welcome to the show, first off. It's awesome to talk to you again.
Thank you, Ernie. It's a pleasure to be on.
The Devil at My Doorstep, and that the sequel to that is The Devil at Our Doorstep. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Ernie, I wrote it after I wrote my first book, The Devil at My Doorstep. The decision, I'd won in here in Indiana against the union under the auspices of the National Labor Relations Board, and it was appealed to Washington, and not by the SEIU, interestingly enough, but by the federal government. And we can't prove it, but we're pretty sure it was because the president of the SEIU at that time, Andy Stern, was buddies with the current president. We think there was a call made to the White House, and it was appealed to Washington. It took another 14 months And we won in Washington in front of the National Labor Relations Board 3-0. And claims against us were out and everything. And what's interesting, and the reason I wrote the second book, is not just to describe our victory in Washington. And by the way, it includes all the first book, too. But we learned new information and new tactics that we put in the book. Enough employees and employers around the country. And they sent me their stories of being abused by the union bosses. Plus, and I don't know if you remember, but when they attacked me, they used clergy people against me. One of the people read my first book and called me, and we had lunch. And when we sat down, he says, "Dave, I want to apologize. I was wrong. The union was wrong. Everything you say in your book was true, and I hope you will forgive me." And he wrote us a letter of recommendation, which is in the new book, so that the unions can't even debate.
Okay, let me summarize, and you correct where I'm wrong as I remember the conversation, and this is the reason why I wanted to talk to you again, get an update. You have a business. You have a lot of hourly employees that were, you know, they thought were ripe for unionizing, because not just your company, you just the big guy on the block, and it just, you know, they topple you, they get their fingers into all janitorial services that they want to union. It's like trying to unionize the fast food workers right now. You know, they're trying to unionize workers at various different airports. They're trying to unionize a union. So you go, okay, well, this is not, I got a good relationship with my employees. We don't want to do, they don't want to do it. What the heck is going on? They used all these tech to the point that I tell you, they went and trick-or-treated in his neighborhood, going door-to-door, the people under the trick-or-treating kind of making you look bad, and he's an evil kind of scumbag to your neighbor kind of stuff. And I'm going, wow, there's nothing that beneath them. They will, man, I'm the underminer. You know, I may be beneath you, but nothing is beneath me. I mean, you know, so I go, okay, if they will take these kind of tactics on, it's going to take someone like David Bego to go up against them and have the support of his family and his friends and have and his employees to be able to do this. He goes all the way through the system and still prevails. But that system, tell me, is it heavily weighted in favor of them trying to destroy you?
Well, it is, and it's getting worse because the current president and the SEIU are very close. And he is indebted to the unions because they're the ones that got him elected and reelected, both with their campaign contributions and their foot soldiers on the ground getting people to vote for him. And but here's the, Ernie, here's the thing that people don't understand about this president, and I talk about this in my second book. I have a video of President Obama in 2008 when he was running for the Democratic nomination for president, speaking in Chicago to the SEIU. And he got up in front of him and said, "I've been a part of you my whole adult life. I've worked with you. I've organized with you. And together, we're going to paint this country purple."
Yeah, I remember purple, he had like purple shirts all around him or something, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And purple is the color of the SEIU. Subsequently, and I wrote this blog a year or so ago, discovered that the SEIU is marching in the streets of California with the Communist Party. So you start connecting the dots. We have a president associated with the union that's associated with the Communist Party.
You know, I saw doing some research and getting an update on you that there is a World Socialist Watch website or something, you know, and they're and your name keeps coming up and all this stuff. They got you targeted, man. You're like the guy getting them. They're going, ooh, go get some. And you're telling me that they're starting to dump a bunch of money into Republican GOP races now.
Yeah, I was on a you know, I do radio programs across country, and I had another talk show host send me a little article she had written because she discovered this going on out in California, and I looked into it, and I wrote my blog on it, California Sinking, with a question mark behind it, and it shows that the SEIU and other unions are pouring money into the Republican Party, expecting, of course, in return, laws passed that will aid and abet the unions and help them force unionize people across the country, across California. And this is scary because I can tell you, Ernie, this probably isn't just happening in California. It's just the start. It's going to be happening across America.
What's going to be happening?
They're going to be sinking money into the Republican Party, and they're going to try and control America. by getting Republicans on their side. And a lot of people said, well, why would Republicans do this? And two things. Money is one. You got the first one, money. The second one, though, is I firmly believe they're probably using the same tactics behind the scenes against these Republican politicians that they use against me, you know, intimidation and, you know, come out and badmouth you in the press and making you look bad, psychological. And, you know, most people, just like the other major cleaning companies did when the SEIU attacked us all, they just signed the neutrality agreement and went along with the union. Not many people will stand up to them.
You know, because it's such a daunting effort to do so. I mean, they make it that's their power. And I'm wondering what the solution is. We're going to talk about it. We come back from the break. And I suggest you guys all go to the archive, because I'm going to keep yakking with David, because I'm telling you, this is interesting. You want to know what's really going to happen in this presidential election cycle? You know, all the other blah, 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 don't care. Okay? It's going to come down to things like this. There is a plan. There is already a plan. There has been consolidation of power and money on both sides. And it gets so big and so much resources on the socialist, we rule you and glean off and kind of, you know, provide for our living kind of thing. You know, the parasites on society. And that right there becomes so wealthy, has so many resources and so much pull that it starts taking over all of the government, all of the candidates, all of the... So what do we do? You're still voting? Well, is there another way? Can we vote ourselves free? Is there something else? David Bigo, you know, he's right in the middle of the fight. He's going to help us. We'll be right back. What I want to do is whatever you want, but I'm really, the reason I was thinking of you is that I can see exactly what you were talking about. This was a consolidation of power and resources to be able to take one big giant more ratcheting or several on the American economy as the whale carcass gets, you know, eaten up by all the great whites sitting there just chewing on it until there's nothing left and they start feeding on each other. So I'm going, this is just a sign of that. There is a lot of, you know, the fat still on the bone here, and they're just going to get every little old thing they can as they go into the end of, then they killed the golden goose, the American economy. So I'm wondering, you know, is it just because they're greedy and what can we get as much and perpetuate the machine, or is it an effort to take down something? What do you think?
No, I think, Ernie, it's they want to bring down America. They don't like American exceptionalism. They don't like the free market system and capitalism. And this group of people, and I'm talking about the president and the SEIU and Soros and these other people, they believe in the Cloward and Piven paper. I don't know if you've heard about that, but they are professors at Columbia that wrote a paper in 1966 that outlined how you destroy the American capitalistic free market system and institute socialism. And when you look at all of it that's going on right now with high unemployment, high national debt, high welfare rolls, entitlement rolls, nationalized education and nationalized health care. Those were all the major points of America.
Yeah, no.
And open borders.
Well, American exceptionalism, what do you mean by that? I keep hearing now, I'm like, what does that mean?
Well, you know, we're the greatest nation on the face of the earth. What I'm saying is we brought the world further than any other country. Or destroy them. Want that to happen.
Yeah, and my thing is, I never really get this country did. It was a philosophy that was supported by this country, or used to. It was part of our heritage. It was the freedom's the answer, what's the question thing, you know? And that's what made us exceptional. It was not, I don't know, our flag, you know, it wasn't our geography, it wasn't anything, there's nothing special here that's any different somewhere else other than the philosophy that
that's
we
right.
chose to operate under. So when, you know, the American exceptionalism to me is that only exceptionalism is how free we were. We're not that exceptional anymore. We're getting like every Europe. I mean, what else they got to check off their list? I mean, damn, we got national health care. They're, you know, all the things that you just said, the education system, the financial crony capitalistic system of we got the rules of the system of supporting their system. And I'm going, where's the individual freedom thing? And I'm going, yeah.
They don't want that.
Well,
they don't want that,
but,
Ernie.
But why? It's like, don't they see that that's what funded everything?
Because they don't. Two things. Number one, they want control. They're all about control. Yeah, the second thing is that they don't know how to operate in a free market society. They know how to operate by bully, and that's what they do, and that's why they want it to be a socialistic economy.
Yeah. Some animals get better treatment than others. Okay, I get it.
What's the site you went on? You saw my name on?
No, oh, it was, I got it over there on the other computer. It was World Socialism Watch or something like that. I mean, it's the world, we're going to, I don't know, rule everybody or something, you know. So I
see, and that's what they want to do. Can you send me that link?
Yeah. Let me see how much time. No, we're coming back. Okay, well, I'll pull it up here and see if I can find it while we're on. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, rock and roll, one night here on Declare. Your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, David Beagle. You know, this is, you know, someone that's engaged in the battle up front and close and personal, and he takes it as, man, they're the overwhelming resources of it. Might as well just be the government. Heck, they are the government. You know, matter of fact, government. You know, think about this. Your tax money goes to fund you getting ripped off. The tax money goes in, and they'll negotiate. You know, they'll come in and they'll negotiate for higher wages and so on, and as part of the deal, they'll go, well, we're going to increase the percentage by X amount of percent of something that you contributed and you got to pay in here in addition to this pay increase that we got from the whatever, and we're going to get, and isn't that great, and you're going to net some more money, and we get more money to be able to take the money. And I'm going, yeah, we got that going for us. And it gets to the point, once they're successful in continually doing that, then they can get favorable legislation from everywhere, Republican, Democrat, everybody, whatever, that they can keep doing it even more to the point that, and then it's all gone. You know, so is it a conscious effort, you think, David, to, I don't know, to eliminate resistance to this, or just to eliminate capitalism at all? It's a world government. Is it really the rank and file, or is it there a they, them, those bigger plan, you know, Bilderberger kind of we're going to rule you thing? I mean, have you come across some kind of overall understanding of what's going on more than most?
Well, I think because I've gone through this and I see how they act and what they want to do and their tactics and that, and the fact that they like to bully people, is that they basically want total control, and they don't know how to operate in our free market capitalistic society. So they're bent on destroying our free market capitalistic society and taking us to a socialistic, totalitarian type of government. And I see people like the SEIU and this administration and Soros and others that, you know, they just want total control because they think they're smarter than the rest of us. Plus, they really don't know how to operate in a free market system. They don't know how to go out and sell themselves and do the right things and take care of people in the right way. You know, they only know how to use intimidation tactics and misinformation and lies. And I think their goal is to take over this country. And I hope it doesn't happen before the next election.
It hasn't happened already? I mean, what's your view that they're, what do they got left to do?
Well, you know, the Cloward and Piven, who were Columbia University husband and wife, wrote a paper about bringing down America, capitalism, and turn us into a socialistic country. And when you look at their major points, high national debt, high unemployment, high entitlement programs and welfare programs, open borders, nationalized education, and nationalized health care, we're there. And, you know, the country's economy shows that. And, you know, on top of that, they're pitting people against each other, you know, racial divide and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the people, and I've heard people talk about this, and is that, you know, The government is also advocating a nationalized police force. They're taking away armored equipment and that from localized police forces, so they don't need those things. And at some point when the economy collapses and, you know, there's riots in the street, you call out the guard and you take over military control of the country. And that's what a lot of people are afraid of, because that's what Cloward and Piven was all about.
This military takeover, you know, we get into the, oh, I hate to even say it, you know, Jade Helm 15 stuff, and they got actual boots on the ground, and doing a three-month program or whatever, does that come up in your concern about a lot of what's going on going into the POTUS race for 16?
Well, I think, you know, it's something that everybody has to be concerned about. Why is it happening? Why does it have to happen at this point? And is it really necessary? And, you know, it's just when you start connecting all the dots, I think our antennas need to go up and say, we got to stop this. The American people need to stand up and go on the offensive and push back. And I've advocated that the Republican Party do that. But do it because of the intimidation tactics and the misinformation that's thrown out by the far left. And, you know, it's scary because we need people that will stand up and, you know, save our great country.
Okay. You're bringing it right in line. We're leaving this weekend to go to New Hampshire for the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's like the 12th, 13th year. And this is the Free State Project thing that's going on there. They have every year a camping for a week up in Lancaster, up near the Canadian border. And it's just a bunch of the liberty-oriented activists. And you'll a lot of these guys are just like, you know, Freedom's Phoenix and, you know, are equivalent on, you know, all kinds of crap. I mean, you know, every young the average age of 30, and they all got to go and save America or save themselves. And it's getting to the point that a lot of the revolutionaries, the Ron Paul crowd. And what happened was, is they're like, eh, you're still voting? You know, no. The trap is the participation in this system. They want to scare you into doing the system. You got some system. So I'm going, wow, what's the real solution here? And I'm getting the impression, and I want to get your opinion, it seems like they're like, you know what? Every bit of freedom that I'm advocating for that I can do. Technology allows me to be, you know, grow my own food, be off the grid. I did a little bit of backyard of aquaponic or whatever. You know, I got some chickens. I'm going to get me, you know, a solar panel trailer, take small, tiny home of Bite Me. And I'm not going to keep getting on this hamster wheel and support them. And what I'm going to do is extract my support from this system. I'm going to start homeschooling my children. I'm going to start teaching. You see my point? It's like they're not looking to storm the ramparts one more time. They're just like, nah. And they're not going to get all behind Rand. They're not going to get, you know, involved in the Republican Party anymore. The Libertarian Party just wants to be like the other guys anyway. So I'm just going, there is another attitude. This generation next is going to extract their support. Now, in that vacuum, they're going to come up and say, we rule you. And you go, you don't. And yeah, we do. No, you don't. And yeah, we do. And I'm going, it's going to be a financial thing. And I'm what's really going to take this, what Dr. Paul is always going on about, it's going to be the dollar. So are you looking at an end game that's coming, you're trying to save? Are you preparing for what's after? Do you think that this battle will continue a lot longer? Are we going to become Greece? I mean, you know, what's the end game on this? What do you think is going to happen and how fast?
Well, I think that the end game is that we have to get conservatives together. Whether you're Republicans or Libertarians or whatever background you are, and get them to understand is that we've got a group of people that fundamentally want to destroy the country, and we got to get them behind and get the right people in office to start changing things around.
So it's a voting thing. I mean, you're like, we can fix it using the political process, and you're putting effort there.
We can if we get people out and do it. And
they did it. It was called the Levolution. I mean, I don't know what better example you have of 08 and then again 12. And now Lucy's going to hold the football one more time, you know. So I'm just like, we'll talk about that when we cut solutions. I'm with David, man. Solutions. Information helps us. But then, OK, now what? Now what? You're up against the, you know, unions giving money to GOP.
Are you looking for an
Yeah, this is, I'm with you, brother. I understand, you need a bunch of people to something. But I'll tell you what's going on so you kind of understand our thought process. We do this. Are you at a computer that you can look something up?
What?
Are you at a computer that you can look something up?
Yeah.
Just do trash can flyer. Trash can flyer Freedom's Phoenix. And I'll make my point. Yeah, I looked for that site that I was. Look, I can't find it again now. I went past it. It was World Socialism page or something, And
trash can flyer Freedom Phoenix.
Yeah. And you'll see a PDF and do it anyway. It's a big orange. 4x14-inch flyer we put on emptied trash cans. Somebody put out their big monster trash can, and we'll go in the afternoon, and don't even have to get out of the car. Boom, under the lid. Doom, 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 doom. It looks like they got a ticket. I go, hey, man, I didn't recycle right or something. So you go in there, and it was total information awareness when they first came out with that. And it was like, ooh, we're surveilling and looking at everything and checked your trash and talked to your neighbors and went through and, oh, by the way, here's a number to call to get your interview and the mandatory vaccination of where's your guns. And that number would go to the newsroom of like a radio or television or newspaper and so on, and it just bombarded them with hundreds of calls, and we get television coverage every time we did this. And the reason was is we were trying to wake people up and say, look, this is real. These programs, you go to this website, aztiphotline.info, and you go there, and it has all these stories on how they're surveilling and turning in and blah, blah, blah. Well, then Snowden happens. This has been going on for years before Snowden. When the Snowden thing revealed, they go, damn, that was true. Yeah, that's what we've been telling you. So now with the Jade Helm thing coming, and how we're going to word it and so on, we're going to talk to a lot of the activists at Porkfest, is that it's going to be the same kind of thing all over. Jade, oh, soldiers in the street, oh my God, and go here, and oh, made you look at what? Well, the solution is get off their grid. Start producing your own power. Start, feeding yourself a little bit. Get healthier. Don't go, start eating right. Just solutions. And this app and this technology and this ability to communicate and this new system. And there is so much out there that these young are doing right, not later. And if you're looking at the positive, if you're feeding the wolf that's the good guy, instead of, feeding all this fear and damnation, we're all going to die in mushroom clouds of the Brooklyn Bridge or whatever, that's where I see the solution. And the thing is that this POTUS race in 2016 is going to be a neon flashing example of exactly what you're talking about. It's going to be the consolidated forces of evil after 8 years of Obama Union kind of man, and here it freaking comes. And the best that they can come up with is what? Is Hillary it? Then I got this O'Malley guy running around with his shirt off. I just use Putin pictures for him all the time. I'm going, seriously, this is so much a game, and I'm wondering how you're going to use it, or you see my point? I'm just like, it's a culture thing. That's the only thing that we got to combat these guys, is just pulling your kids out of their schools, pulling your kids off of their TV, pulling the kids. You see my point? So I see it happening. It already happened with this Levolution. And to go one more time into the breach, and I'm going to give you an opportunity when we come back to, address these youth that are listening and say, okay, we need to what? Vote the right, and how do you know who the right guys are, and what list is that, and how do you influence? Are they even there? Is there any opportunity? So that's what I'm going to come back with you at and let you monologue, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Freedom's answer, what's a freaking question? You just do it. Anyway, you're going to bring children into this evil world of the, it's always been that way. And I go, yeah, that's why you do it. Especially now when you got, the technology and five-year-olds learning the code. I mean, we're doing, 3D, 1-2-3D catch by Autodesk with my five-year-old granddaughter. We're scanning them and doing the kind of, you're going to learn to CAD and code and kind of, and it's all good, man. Don't worry about it. Are we going to go to the man and get some kind of program? I'm going to be, yelling at the education board of the school district to add on to kind of, never mind. I'll do it. You know, this is, it's an attitude. And I'm going, all right, if we're going to use the political process, David has been, that's how I met him, was at a Libertarian Party function I was speaking at, and he spoke at, and I just go, ooh, I want to talk to him. Read his book, and I'm like, damn. Now, here's a man that stood up and said, oh, hell no. But what he was really up against was not just an organization. It's a philosophy. It's a culture. It's this entitlement of we can because we got laws and got a path. Yeah, they has to be a, I don't, I, how do you fix it? Well, David, monologue me, man. Help me out. I need to know these young people that are listening that went through the 08 process, went through the 12 process, and, you know, with Rand Paul, they're trying to tap them for the 16 process, and you need them to what? What's the solution, David? I'm sorry, I didn't have the button pushed. I'm go ahead.
You okay?
Yeah, go.
What the young people and all people have to understand is that the far left, whether it's the unions or the leftists themselves or whoever it is, use the same tactics, and it's all about misinformation, you know, rhetoric, lies, misdirection, and intimidation to get people to do what they want them to do. And everybody needs to take a step back, first of all, and look at the stuff that these people are putting out. Look at the stuff that Hillary Clinton does. I mean, she changes topics every time. You know, once she's going in a direction that's questioned, then she'll move to another topic. The President of the United States does that all the time. Think about all the different things he brings up. You know, he'll be talking about minimum wage, and then he'll go to open borders, that we need to take care of immigrants. And when that gets challenged a little bit, he'll move to something else. And they throw out their rhetoric all the time and say how it's all designed to help people. And what people have to understand is this is not designed to help people at all. This is designed to control people. We saw it with our fight with the SEIU, and we've seen it with other unions. The unions are dinosaurs. They're gasping, and they're going to do anything they can to survive. And the far left and this administration and other people understand they need the unions to survive.
Did I lose you, David? Is somebody trying to call in? You're getting a lot of breaks. Somebody wants to talk to you.
No, we, Ernie, we've had a, with our local phone company, they've had some problems here the past week, and trying to fix it, but we don't know.
Okay, maybe we might need to call you back. It's cutting in quite a lot. I apologize. We missed some of what you said. Would you go ahead and kind of, you know, sum up what you would like Generation Next to consider what they need. See, it was always during the process, it was, we need more youth in the GOP. We need more youth in the, you know, Democrat, whatever. We need more youth. And they go, okay, well, here it came, and freaking, oh, my God, motivated, let's go whip some ass. Freedom! And they go, yeah, but we didn't want that. You know, we wanted them to be a bunch of Indians, and we get to play chief and have more Indians and more chiefs. And I'm going, no, they want to be their own chief. No, you don't want that. I mean, you know, this is, it's already the GOP had their chance. They had their chance. It's over. You know, they're not going to go there. Why would they go there again, David?
Well, because they have to, because this is our chance of getting this country back, and we got to get the right people in there. And I'll be honest with you, one of the people I really like is Governor Scott Walker out of Wisconsin, and I've met him personally several times, and I've listened to him speak. And he's not the typical GOP guy. He is the type of guy, and actually he did some of the same things I did in defeating the SEIU when he won the governorship in Wisconsin. He won the recall, then he won the governorship again. And he did it, Ernie, by getting out in front of the common people and talking to them on their own turf, you know, their own neighborhoods, their churches, their assembly halls, whatever it may be. And he's down to earth, and people get him, and he's all about doing the right things. Plus, he fought the unions and beat them, and he did it by some of it by going into their neighborhoods and talking to these people, and they woke up and go, oh my God, he's right. And this is the type of person that we need in Washington.
You know, I'm looking at, you know, probably the more effective things that I've seen has been things like your book. I mean, just the story. I'm waiting for the movie. You know, it's always the movie that's down, you know, the poor downtrodden workers of the Cesar Chavez of the exploitation of the whatever, which has, you know, these stories need to be told and people need to understand. They make, you know, like boycotts were, you know, very effective, you know, tool. But I'm going, and that's more of a voluntary kind of thing, but it gets to the point to where, you know, where's your side of the story? Where's the one that, you know, it's like card manufacturers coming in. You're like, I don't think Tesla's getting unionized. You know what I mean? So I'm going, this is why? Why, though? Why? Why? What's really going on? Well, whatever the advocacy is of a philosophy, that's what we need to understand and get educated. And that's what your book did. It showed us, you know, from another side. That's why you're getting apologies from people that were, you know, kowtowing to the pressure on the other side going, hey, David, man, we're sorry. We didn't realize. You know, and your book made me look bad, and I want to be a good guy now. And that's where it really comes down. It's culture. So I'm wondering what's driving the culture. How is it that they're prevailing as much as they are, especially when you have the youth? They're not even watching news in these programs. They're getting their own stuff. They have their own, you know, celebrities that are talking ahead of telling them what's up. You know, they're not, oh, we got to get it on CNN. Why? They don't even look. They don't even know what you're talking about. Who's Wolf Blitzer? I mean, they don't know. It's a philosophy thing. And I'm wondering if, you know, there's I can't think of a better opportunity than what was 08 and 12 campaign. And what makes an anarchist from even a libertarian is two or three election cycles if you're paying attention. So we've had that. We get it. And I'm going, all right, we're going to get Walker in. Let's go get Walker. And I know you're talking about he's very pleasant to listen to, and you get a lot of support of what he has to say and what he's done. But it just supports the system again. You know, so where's his support going to come from?
Well, you got to understand. Let's go back on one thing you said about my book being a movie. I've actually got some people in California, and believe it or not, they're Democrats, that are trying to get Hollywood to make a movie out of my book, and I hope that enough people will get behind that we get that done. The other thing is, yeah, the young people, and this is one of the things I was trying to say earlier, you're right, they don't pay attention, but they need to pay attention. They need to start looking into things and really dissecting what's going on, and when they do, they'll find out all the untruths and lies that are coming out of the left and out of the unions and this administration. And
David, I got to interject here. They did, by the tens, if not hundreds of thousands, spending $100 million of their own dollars, going out kicking ass, advocating for exactly what you're talking about, and the system doesn't work.
But it can work. It can work with the right people in it. Because if you get the right people in it, behind them, and we get a president back in like we had with Reagan and some of those, we can start turning this country around. And you look at what Scott Walker's done with Wisconsin. He went in and he passed laws and wrote some executive orders that got rid of all the union's monopoly and power. And he state from a highly deficit state, and this is a very liberal state, they a surplus. And he's not afraid to stand up to them, and we need that type of person. Now, here's the problem. The Republican Party is afraid to get behind him because they're afraid of the unions and their money and their ground game.
Okay, and I'll tell you why. Culture. I mean, none of this stuff works if nobody cares, or if they're not supportive of it, or every time they open their mouth, they know they're lying. You know, and I think the whole system is being rejected for those reasons. And then we got the dollar thing that's going to overwhelm everything. And it goes on and on. More with David Bego, a guy that has done battle with the devil at his doorstep. We'll be right back.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760 Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
David, it's WSWS.org.
WSWS.org. Okay.
Okay, let me...
I'll take a look at it.
Yeah, World Socialist Website, WSWS.org. And if you put in your name, David Bigo, it comes up and it was about the California caliper thing or something. But the... So they've... You know, if you're on the World Socialist Website, well, they got... You know, you're on the list, man. So at least you got that going for you, you know. So yeah, I need, because of this show and the people, they know my opinion. I'm like, it's a culture thing, you know. I see so much more coming from your fight and your books than I do any voting. I don't give a crap. It just perpetuates the very system that they're just going to buy the GOP with our money to begin with. And I'm going, you know, seriously. So is Walker going to get a bunch? I bet you, with the unlimited resources of we got a crap load of money, I bet you that they're going to be supporting a GOP candidate in the primary and doing attack at whatever they got to do on Walker. And if he can hold kind of like a Dr. Paul thing firm on principle and we all learn something, you know, then it's worth it regardless of what happens. But if he kind of, well, you know, I can almost win and I kind of soften my position on the pull, nah, we already lost. So I just need to know if he's the kind of guy. Not capitulating on anything. We'll go whip ass, even if I lose because of it. Without that attitude, you don't change the culture. It just keeps getting compromised into death.
No, he does, and that's why I think we need to go out. You know, we need people support him, and we need to get people across the country behind him. You know, we're a ways in front of the election, so it's going to be a while before all that really starts playing out strongly. But I can tell you, this guy, he gets it, and he's not afraid. I mean, the SEIU did the same thing to him. They had people go to his house and, you know, stage rallies in his yard and his parents' front yard, and he stood up to him.
Yeah, flack from being over the target. I get it. You know, if they didn't come after your kids at Halloween, it means you weren't doing it right.
Yeah, and he's doing the right thing, and I mean, the resistance that he's getting shows it, but that doesn't mean he can't win. We just have to get the word out, and that's what I'm trying to do.
I understand. I'm going to help you, but I mean, win what? You know, let's talk about that. Here we go.
Their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Is not, you know, from my perspective, going, okay, let's go vote for the new ruler. You know, I was like, I thought I was supposed to be able to rule myself. Who's advocating for that one? Yep, got to get that in. Okay, now I'm going, you know, David Bigo is passionate about there are people that have stood up against them and been successful. And you remember in Wisconsin, man, they were in the Capitol Dome. They're sitting in kind of doing we got it, and no. So it's there are people that can represent this battle, but battle for what? Against what? To advocate what? If we get a Walker win in the Republican primary going up against the Union Hillary, well, that'd be interesting. But you know, it's going to be Jeb versus Hillary, and Rand to be one of the last guys to come out, maybe, you know, or if he even gets that. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to first presidential election cycle. I can remember we got to call everybody by their first name. I mean, you know, you look at the betting, the gambling on presidential candidates, and you go, wow, the money's on Hillary and Jeb? I'm so shocked. So I'm just going, this is very interesting, David, that if we get, if Walker gets the promotion, that we get what? You know, what do we advocate? He wins, we win what?
Well, I think we win the fact that we change this country back around and we start putting things into place that make this country great again. You know, we close the borders and, make sure that our country is safe. We don't have people coming across the border that are taking American jobs and lowering wages across the country. We're, you know, emphasizing the free markets and capitalism again. We put the left in its place as far as turning us into a socialistic state. We do the right things internationally to protect our country and our interest, and I believe that there are people out there like Scott Walker that can do that, but we got to get people behind it. And I'll tell you another thing: we need, and I've advocated this. We need term limits because too many politicians want to sit in Washington because of the money and the limelight and the social crowd. And we can also do things with voting by. Two things, actually. One is that, we have voter IDs across the country, so we don't have people like the unions going in and taking people to the polls and having them vote two or three times, or people that are illegal voting. And we also, strengthen right to work across this country so people aren't intimidated by the unions. And right now, I don't know if you know this, I don't think I mentioned it to you earlier, but Soros' MoveOn.org just put out a video here about a week ago about removing right to work across the country because it's not fair, and that people shouldn't have to, unions shouldn't have to fight right to work. And this just tells you how desperate they are when they start doing things like this.
Okay, let's go ahead and describe for the audience what that means. Arizona is a right-to-work state. What that means is you can't have a closed shop. You can't require that you belong to this private third-party entity to get a job. Kind of, that's in the definition of involuntary servitude when they did the 13th Amendment. You couldn't require participation in a third-party contract in order to exercise a right. Kind of, I don't know why hadn't been used, you know. So I'm just going, so Arizona is not susceptible to a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, it's a good example for a lot of people. Other states have this. But now the battle is going to be on. So what's going to happen? Soros money, come to Arizona. We got to be able to get rid of the constitutional provision. I don't know. I think it's going to be a tough sell here in Arizona. Not that it wouldn't be impossible. But once again, I come back to the culture thing of it. So I'm going, I need to know that voting as one thing, and voting for Walker or voting for the GOP or voting for is a vote for this philosophy that you're espousing. And I'm going, what's the evidence of that, Bush? I mean, where's the evidence?
Well, because as I said before, what Walker did in Wisconsin is a perfect example of it. And, you know, Wisconsin just became the 25th right to work state.
Ooh.
And he's doing the right things, and he gets it. You know, he's got my book. He understands it. We've talked, and he knows what to do to make a state successful.
Well, what's his background?
In the country.
In 12, they were trying to push him to run then, and he just like, nope, not prudent at this juncture. Don't care. Not don't care. So is he enthusiastic this time? He's like, okay, let's go get some.
I think he is, and I think you'll see him come out and announce his candidacy in the near future. I think he's actually smart about not doing it now. All these, I mean, you know, we're still a year and 3 or 4 months away from, what, five months away from the election, and getting people all riled up right now. I think he's doing the things behind the scenes, getting prepared to be a good candidate. And here's look at candidates. I want candidates that have governed something before and managed something before because they understand how to manage things and get things done. And, you know, governors typically have that experience.
You know, he understands the process. He's got to get ready for the Iowa straw poll. They canceled it. You know, so I'm just going, yeah, it didn't work out for him the last couple of times, which was the problem in 8 and 12. We were there, man. I remember what was going on. This is a managed coronation kind of thing, and if they can't control it, then they don't want to do it. And I'm going, oh, it's not a big shock to me. So I'm going, Walker's support comes from his dealings with, is it going to be a major, just come right out and be a union thing? It's going to be a socialism, communism versus, you know, whatever left of the capitalism thing. So he's going to get up there and say, I'm for the kind of capitalism that is what? You know, I don't want to say, you know, crony capitalism or capitalism for some and not others, and monopoly protecting of you need a license and you're not allowed where's your permit. I mean some freedom. So I'm going, how free is he in this capitalist society he's advocating?
Well, I think he does a very good job in that. It's kind of like when he came in, he made executive order that, you know, people in the government didn't have to belong to the unions, and the unions couldn't control the health care there, that people should have their own choice. The people in saw their...
Wow, man, and your phone is really breaking up. I apologize.
People see these things.
We missed a lot of the things. The phone was cutting out. So Walker, he got the take the health care out from under the control of the unions. He did, right to work. He got, you know, so bringing this on a state, from state to federal level, is that a federal thing, or is it a state by state thing, or is he, you know, should he try to have a federal, you gotta, you know, I thought the 13th Amendment already did it. You know, you can't have involuntary servitude, you can't force people into third party contracts. I mean, you know, I thought it was already there, so it doesn't seem like it. Is it a state thing and he's advocating as a standard bearer, or is he ready with a pen and executive order, we're going to whip some butt?
Well, I think, you know, and we got to be careful about executive orders. We've seen that with this administration. We have to, live with our three parties, our three government system. You know, the House and the Supreme Court and the presidency and that. And we need to make sure that that works. But he's the type of guy that can get people on his side and do things and advocate the right things. And you know, there's a lot of people that are advocating for right to work on a national level.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a benefit. You know, I think Arizona benefits. I don't see any debt, and of course the unions don't like it. But I mean, you know, I think it insulates us from a lot of stuff that other states, you know, have problems with. But I'm you can see it's a cultural thing with me, and I'm looking forward to, as we get more into this process. If you're going to be, you know, heavily supportive of Walker, you're my go-to guy on, you know, tell me what's up there. I mean, if you don't mind, you know, doing this, I'm all right, fine. You get the pimp Walker, because, you know, amongst all the other whatever, he does rise above a lot of the others. I mean, there's no getting around that. But then there's Donald Trump with his $9 billion, and I'm going, you know, yay, you know, whatever. Seriously, man, it's like, you know, seriously. So this is a system that we're going to try and fix or advocate for. I mean, you can see from my perspective, I'm looking for a cultural representation, an education, a shift in the just opinion. That drives everything else, and it's the only thing that holds these unions with these almost nearly unlimited resources. We're talking gazillions of dollars. Here in Arizona, in 96, they had $40 million went into a congressional race. That's when my first view of just how powerful the unions were when they put $40 million into trying to get their guy elected. And they weren't successful. It didn't work, but that doesn't stop them. They got more. They just keep coming. And they'll target different races, and they sure as heck don't want Walker up there. And David! Bigo. They don't like him either. Okay? You know, go check out his books. The Devil at Our Doorstep is new one. You'll learn a lot.
Since time began.
Here we go. David, thank you for coming on. If you want to, on a regular basis, it'll probably be, like you say, you know, after Labor Day, and we kind of get into this. I'm going to have supporters of various different campaigns and so on explain it to me. But, you know, I know what's going to happen. It's the system itself that's being challenged by these young guys. They're just, now we're good, and technology is allowing them to, you know, what was the whole point of all this technology and advancement of civilization? It was, you know, clean water and, you know, eat and, you know, have shelter and leave me aloneism. They go, you know what? I got an app for that. You know, done. Next, Uber. So I'm going, okay. So that's what the battle is going to be. But I'd really like, you know, to have you come on a regular basis as we get into this POTUS cycle and give you an opportunity to talk about what we're up against. Do you mind?
No, I would love it, because we've got to change America and get us back on track, and that's why I do the things I'm doing. And I think that, you know, once, as you say, after Labor Day, once we really get on the fast track, we've got to get the word out and get people involved, because I think the culture can be changed. We've let the other side do it the last 8 or 9 years, and we've got to get it back on track to where it's at. And but I think we've got some candidates.
What would be your criticism of Dr. Paul, and then, you know, then his son running, which is, you know, a different thing. But, you know, that was a lot of demonstration of what's possible. And why is that not happening with any of the other, even Rand? I mean, you know, what happened? What did you glean from that effort?
Well, you know, Dr. Paul was people on that, and I think you will see the same thing out of Walker. But one of the problems I have with the Pauls is, you know, I'm not a warmonger or anything, but they are basically hands-off with the rest of the world, and I think that's a scary thing, because if we don't pay attention to what's going on, it could cost us in the future. We have to be out there and be involved to make sure that, you know, things in the Middle East don't destroy this country at some point.
All right. So it's a, you know, defense, military, exceptional police world thing.
Well, I think we have to be on top of our game, just like we were, you know, in other wars, that they can't defeat us. And I'm not one of those. You know, I don't believe we should be like the Romans, go out and control or try to. But we certainly have to protect our interest. Because if not, it's just like the unions attacked. If you aren't strong, you'll lose.
Yeah, no, I remember the opening, one of the opening scenes in Iron Man, where they go, protecting America and her interests. And I'm going, wow, what was America's interest? I thought it was leave me aloneism for the people here. Well, you know, and then that once you start down that road, then it's, you get to define what that means. And I'm going, I mean, leave me aloneism generation of, it's not their debt. I have my seventh grandchild on the way. So my oldest is, she's 5 years old. And I was starting to show her in when she was in her mother's womb was when they passed the tarp. And I go, are you kidding me? They're just in debt. Not even my first grandchild's not even born yet, and they already dumped another $40,000 debt in backpack of her cut, got it on you. And I'm going, hell no. So if you Googled, it's not my debt, and you'll see these big billboards we had all around Phoenix, you know, on the freeways, you know, 14 by 48, nine locations of it's not my debt, with a baby with a barcode on their butt being scanned over a grocery scanner. Okay. And the other one was a baby in the womb saying it's not my debt, and then freedomsphoenix.com and stuff. So I showed her, I said, this is it. And then she goes and looks at some baby pictures when she was born, and we have one of those shirts, you know, for I forgot about. I go, oh yeah, and we got some, get her another shirt, you know, size now. And she's like, ooh, it's not my dad's. So then, of course, you got to explain it to him. And how do you explain it to him? I go, look, somebody spent money in your name, and they say you owe it. You got to give it back, and with interest, you know. And she's like, what? So you explain all these concepts, and she's like, well, that's like sucks.
Yep.
I go, yeah, this is what grandpa's doing. We're out here trying to. So you can see from my standpoint, how am I going to change that? And you have the guys that really, you know, what's your view on a constitutional convention for balanced budget thing?
Oh, I think we have to do it.
You know, and that's where I, you know, I'm really worried about that. But, you know, the thing is that whenever I talk to these guys, and I have them on the show, a lot of the big guys are all years doing this thing, and I go, okay, well, I just need to know, are you going to carry forward this debt you spent, you know, that my grandchildren owe? Does that get added? Is that on? Is that part of? Does that come with this new founding, new constitution, new? Or are we repudiating it? Are you, you know, erasing it? Are you, nope, got to have it, got to put it, then you already lost me. You know, if you're going to my grandchild and say, we're going to have this generation re-sign and recommit and re-document, and it's not, you know, the ancient founders of the ancestor, whatever, we're going to re-up on a refi of America. Oh, and this big debt thing, you owe it. And I go, you do that, you lost me. Done. Next. Because it's mathematically impossible, David. So I am not going to voluntarily advocate and enslave my grandchildren. Just not.
Well, there are ways that they can change the budgets in this country, and as a businessman, I understand that, and we can chop down that debt pretty rapidly. And but you have to change some things that are going on in this country with the open borders and the entitlement.
I'm hit. I'm yeah. I'm, we're on the same page, you know. Freedom's the answer, but it's just a, you know, technique and method, and I'm just looking for the cultural shift. And I saw, you know, it'll never, and you can't, and always, and seriously, I saw it with the level. I saw what they're doing. I know. I go into the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and I've seen these guys. Oh, dude, you can go here and smoke dope. Wow! And then 3-4 years later, all of a sudden, now they're all mature with little kids running around advocating free market, you know, of agora, you know, anarchism to voluntary. Little kids doing their own business that they're teaching them with. So I can see this evolution. We're just going to evolve our way, and it's not going to be just America. This is a global thing. It's a generation thing. It's like them against everybody. So that's
the
power to me.
The people are waking up, Ernie. Trust me.
Yeah.
Even the union people, they're tired of the union bosses. They're trying to decertify in a lot of areas and that, and that's why the left is fighting so hard, because they see that there's an undercurrent. And I've got people in California I talk about in my book that are trying to undermine the SEIU out there. The U.S. auto workers in Michigan are doing the same thing. There's people down in the South that are decertifying their unions. People are waking up at what's going on. They understand we can't continue on this path.
Okay. That's, you know, I got to get to my next hour, but, I mean, I don't have a next hour guest. You want to continue this conversation?
What's that?
You want to continue this conversation? I'm coming back for my next hour. I don't have another guest.
I might be able to do it just for a segment.
All right, we'll do another segment. We got it. And
but I feel bad because this damn phone, and I can tell too.
I know.
That's the problem I have with
it. All right, here we go.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
A conversation that we need to, you know, continue this, because this is the conversation that I want to have. This is it. This is it. It's, we all want this to leave me alone as kind of, you know, we're done thing. But, you know, what does that mean and how are we going to achieve it? And we've still got plenty to say. As we go into the POTUS 2016 election cycle, it's kind of, you know, a pox on all their houses and they're not going to repudiate the debt of my grandchildren still owe and kind of, and I don't care. You know, I'm just, yeah, it's going to be, I tell you what, we'll be over here when it all falls. You let me know how it works out and, you know, where else I got to go to avoid another country. And so I just got a card. It looked like a wedding invitation that already happened. It was just an announcement. And it was Pete Iyer from copblock.org and celebrating his, you know, semi-union or whatever it was with his girlfriend. And I guess they're semi sort of married in the eyes of themselves kind of thing. And they're talking about, we're going to go to Mexico, but we might not come back. This has been a common theme. I went to Jeff Borwick from the Dollar Vigilante had an event this last year in Acapulco called Anarcapulco. And there are 300 people there, the average age of in their 30s, that are just like they don't have an allegiance to any particular country, but a philosophy, and they're looking for where that is. As you have a lot of people expatriate, a lot of people giving up their, you know, U.S. citizenship, their passport, and so on, to just, you know what? I'm over here now. David, what's your view on people that are voting with their feet like that? And do you think they're making a good decision for themselves or just prolonging the worldwide socialistic, and this is the battlefield here in America we got to do? What's your opinion?
Well, you know, I think everybody has to do what they think they need to do. But personally, I think that people need to stand firm in this country and uphold our freedoms and keep our capitalistic free market system in place, and I see that already, as I've mentioned to you, even with union members, both in California and Michigan and down in the Southeast, these people are standing up and decertifying their unions. Up in Michigan, they stood up and were the ones who were behind Right to Work. These are United Auto Workers that worked in a Ford plant, and out in California, a gal I talked about in my book is trying to decertify her union out there in California with the SEIU. And I a groundswell of people that understand that we can't continue to go on the path we're on. And we got to get more people to buy in to understand.
When you say decertify the union, yeah, your phone's really bad. We'll go to this segment. But when you say decertify a union, what does that mean?
That the membership, the union members, take a vote under the auspices of the National Labor Relations Board that they no longer want to be in the union. And in my blog about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I talked about this. UAW has had a couple different facilities down in one in Georgia and one in, I believe, South Carolina that have decertified the union. And UAW is so frightened by this that they have appealed it 5 times in the National Labor Relations Board, which President Obama is controlling in the union's favor, has overturned the union vote. And they're getting ready to do one again. And this is how desperate this administration and the unions and the people that are on the far left are. They're trying to use physical force to overcome our laws, throw them out the window, and keep control of these people. And this is just a little of insight what they have in store for this country. And the union members are seeing it, starting to wake up and fight back.
Yeah, see, I can. It kind of reinforces the supporting evidence of what I'm saying is that it's the opinion of the public. It's a cultural shift. It's that is where you have the biggest change. Even if people just sit on the side of the, I don't care, they wind up doing what they're going to do. But when they actively, no, I'm not, I'm in the dark economy. I'm using Bitcoin. I moved. I'm dealing straight with that Estonia of, you know, that got mailed to me. I mean, you know, I can see that it's just little spots of light everywhere. So I got to ask you, in this kind of diversification of really a true free market, if I just clicked on, you know, a France website and got my widget, whatever, you know, in that atmosphere, is there some role for government in there? Is there some kind of controls you would have? Is there, you know, some kind of bureaucracy that you would create?
Well, I think that you have to have limited government. And I think government needs to be reduced. Instead of a government that's putting out new laws and regulations and executive orders all the time, I think we need a government that's going in and cleaning up the ones we have. Because the truth is, and we see it all the time, the government, you know, the laws they pass, they don't even have time to enforce them or to, you know, review them. It's kind of like going back to the immigration thing with people coming across the border. We're seeing it all across the country where businesses are hiring illegals and paying them under the table. And, you know, that's costing American jobs, and it's lowering wage rates across the country. And the government's not even going out and following up on this. And
I apologize, I lose you.
Limited government.
This is, we have a bunch of stories up we're going to be going over, but, you know, one of them, I just, you know, China mocks G7 as gathering of debtors. And I'm going, yeah, they're all in debt to them. Which I'm going, this is interesting. You know, and then we have a U.S. military exercise. They just announced that they're going to do a co-military exercise with China and the U.S. And I'm going, wow. And then they do it with Russia, and it's back and forth. I'm going, this debt and the G7 and how we're treating Russia and China and all the, what's, I'm going, damn, I need David's opinion on all this. What's going to happen?
Well, I think it's another indication of a world government, and that's what this this group wants, because they think that people in this country, and it also comes back to social justice, you know, think everybody needs to be the same, everybody needs to be taken care of. And what people don't realize, it isn't about social justice, it's about herding sheep. And if you have everybody the same, and that's what the unions do, by the way, they have everybody the same, you know, you can only work so hard, you can only do so much, you know, the pay rates are pretty close to each other and all that, so everybody's the same. And when you have everybody the same, they're easier to control. And this administration believes that you know, we should all be together in the world, and we should have a world government, and that's what they're trying to embrace in this.
You know, that's one thing I want to part with you, this one thought, and you can see the cultural aspect. There was a, in the Invincibles, an animated cartoon, there was a part where the mom goes to dad and says, well, everybody's special. And he goes, well, that's just one way of saying nobody is. Well, that came up when I was watching Tomorrowland with my granddaughter, inspire her as a great, I encourage people to watch Tomorrowland. They've been saying, oh, it's losing money, and I'm going, you know, the reason that the media hammering on that movie, it was all about challenging this whole system of crap. It's just a young imagine the future and they can get it and whatever. So she goes, in the movie, she goes, they said something about being special. She goes, hey, everybody's special. And I listened to her in her ear in the movie. I go, that's just another way of saying nobody is. And this concept, if you can get that concept, you can put into the youth, is that, yes, it's okay to be special. It's a freedom to be special. That's the point. And they're trying to make it, no, it's illegal to be special. It's like Harrison Bergeron or something. You got to, you know, dumb everybody down to the same level, kind of equality. We rule you. You can get in the chute and you can, yeah, anyway, everybody gets their number. Everybody gets their health care. Everybody, because the ranchers always want to number their cattle and control what they're thinking, doing, saying, and their health and their food. And that's what we got to look forward to. There we go. Thank you for sticking around a little bit. But, yeah, we're on the same page. I'm just like, I'm not advocating a system that I've been doing this 25 years, David. I'm telling you, it is their biggest power against us is us thinking that we can vote ourselves free. You know, I don't see that. That's a side effect of something else. That's a, you know, people will demand on a local level and vote whatever when they understand culturally the stuff that you're talking about.
Well, that's true, but the other side of it is you got to understand they're controlling the voting mechanism, and that's what we got to get control
of. They got control of the freaking computer, to the system of that. I run for Secretary of State in 94 and 06 on one thing. The system is corrupt at the foundation base level. And I mean computer program. In 94, I'm screaming, when this thing goes computer, we're screwed. Is there any manual about it? It took me 10 years for them to pass legislation, and then they ignore it anyway, to where you manually validate 2% of the ballots cast just to confirm with the computer. I was screaming about it. And then when they did it, then they just ignore the law, and we sue, and they go, yeah, we ignored it. That was just for window dressing. Okay. Yep. I just wanted to make sure everybody understands. Does everybody freaking understand what just happened? Okay. We're good. I'm good. I'm done. I checked off all my boxes a bunch of times. So this is, you know, I understand. I'm deep in this battle with you, David, just from a different perspective. But if Walker can emphasize a lot of the stuff that you're talking about and educate, you know, I'm in. You know, let's do it. You know, have him come on. You can pip his whatever. I don't care. Because I'm not inspired by Rand's kind of playing politics. I don't play politics. You know, I just don't. And that's why we were so supportive of Dr. Paul, his dad. But it's just, but if you got to say and do certain things to get the nomination, then you already lost before you started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I think there's a way to do it. You know, you say who you are. It's just a matter of how you do it. And I tried to get Romney to understand that and to challenge the other side and in the debates and that. But they say, no, we got to be nice guys. And I said, no, you don't have to be nice guys. You can be professional, but there's nothing wrong with going out and exposing who people really are. And you can do it professionally. And that's one of the things I did against the SEIU, and I won.
Yeah, no, it's almost like they don't really want to fix it. They just want to get a database. You know, they just want to, it's like the NRA. They need gun control legislation so they can justify their existence on helping write gun control legislation not as bad as the other one and say we won. I mean, you know, I've been through this, man. It's just the system sucks. And if you can demonstrate to me some way we can, you know, put some attention on and get a cultural benefit out of it, I'm all over it. You know, but if it's a just, you know, another roomy guy, then next, you know. But I'd certainly be respectful to have you come on and tout whatever you want, Mr. David.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Hey, Ernie, by the way, how old are you?
54.
Oh, you're just a kid.
I was born in 61. I mean, enough to where, you know, I've been through enough cycles, I get it.
How do you have seven grandchildren?
Well, we had four children. We had, they're 25 to 30, and they just started having babies.
Well, I'm 62, and I've only got five.
It's, you know, that they're not enough, as far as I'm concerned, because that's how I'm going to win. I go, it's not me you got to worry about. It's my kids and my grandkids. And they're just starting to come of consciousness to understand that there's, like, bad guys and we're doing battle. You know, hey, I'm coming in the next segment. You want to go again? I mean, you know. Or you
this phone's too bad. I want to do it sometime when we get this damn thing fixed. Okay?
All right, man. Thanks for coming on, David. I look forward to talking to you again.
All right. Take care, Ernie. It was great.
Bye.
2-800-602-264. 2-800 and now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're back. David and I were yakety, 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 yakety. All right, this is, yeah, we could go all day. And one thing that I wanted to, you know, I'm supportive of people that are doing something. They got off their butt and counted and did something. And you have to understand, it went on for years. And it was a union. They were just making an example of, you're going to get unionized and you're hundreds of employed kind, and we're going to do it, and there's nothing you can do about it, and here we come. And any resistance that he would have, they'd go, you know, kind of the in the neighborhood on Halloween and start passing out stuff to all his neighbors what an evil person he was, because, you know, and, you know, going after his family and children and, you know, in the media, and kind of just going, wow. Well, you know, it was a battle that he needed to document, and he did it in this book, The Devil at My Doorstep. And now he has it followed up with The Devil at Our Doorstep. It's not just about him. It's just representative of much larger. Well, everybody should go and resist and do it. I'm going, I agree. The political process can be used to emphasize these philosophies and battle against and why and what for, and we get educated. But, you know, that's other than that, I'm not. And if we vote the right way, we'll fix. Yeah, maybe not. Now, of course, you know, is for closing the border. So I'm wondering what Walker's deal is on that. as for, you know, the free market capitalism system of, got to get that defined someday. Then we have, you know, voting, getting GOP in there, and anti-union, right to work, and you know, American exceptionalism. We should be, you know, more involved in international affairs of military or something. So there's not a complete overlap of our interests, but there can be something learned of what we're up against, this communist, socialist, we rule you and everybody's equal if you get voted that way from the committee of death panel. I mean, all this stuff just intertwines in the same thing. So I'm that's where I'm going to be limited in our support for the expansion of anything that we do. If you're not a special interest or advocating a special interest of a collective effort for something, you know, it's hard to get, you know, I've been in the media for this. You know, it's hard to get funding. It's hard to get sponsors. It's hard to get average. It's hard to get support. It's hard to get institutionalized. You go up against and somebody with a gazillion dollars is helping the competition of we rule you. You know, I give you an example. And we pull this up. Okay. This article we put up on Freedom's Phoenix, and you can already see we have our anti-Google ISR on Freedom's Phoenix kind of, you know, whatever thing. This is a story about a gentleman that is supportive of Popular Liberty, the website that evolved from Daily Poll. This is Michael Nystrom's site. Now, it wasn't him or anyone at his site or employer. It was a supporter, you know, a reader, a participant that said, hey, you know, I got a little bit of money. I'll help. This is what I'll do. I will go ahead and put up AdSense text, classified web kind of whatever search ads, you know, up on the internet and promote Popular Liberty. And it says Popular Liberty. It's a liberty liberty category. Wake up and smell the liberty. Best discussions on the net. PopularLiberty.com. That was it. Then all of a sudden, Google AdSense said, nah. We're not prudent at this juncture. We're not even allowing you to pay to support Popular Liberty. Are you freaking kidding me? Yeah, why? Because they're an opinion place. See, they don't mind if it's an opinion. You got original opinion of opinion. So you could have that segmented out. But when you have a an aggregator, like what we do, you know, this is, we get the same thing. You know, we get hit on this stuff, too. But we kind of anticipated. We're investing. That's why tomorrow is going to be an important show, where we have Tomiska Coomber is going to talk about the SAFE network coming online. Because I could see this was not going to be where freedom was going to be advocated. It wasn't. Because those had too much control. And with Google being the State Department, just, you know, Google Julian Assange or search, you don't need to Google, no. Fell into that. Ooh, you go Julian Assange, Newsweek, Google. You just do that, or Eric Schmidt, and you'll go, damn, no wonder they're at freaking Bilderberg. So I'm going, this is a battle, a philosophy. And when you have an opinion, and see, I didn't even know when we started in 05, what do you call website like Freedom's Phoenix? The word aggregator never even was, it wasn't even invented. I mean, it's got, what are you? Well, it's kind of an opinion. You know, opinion of what? Well, we pull, you know, kind of supporting evidence for our philosophy. And you go, yeah, but you have all this kind of, you know, government, Washington Post, communistic kind of whatever stuff. Yeah, you need to know what they're advocating, what they're saying, what they're doing. What's our opinion? The graphic. I got a nice little graphic making fun of. That's my opinion, okay? But I didn't change the headline, didn't change the content, didn't change. That's why you have, I think that's what Lou Rockwell does and why they do that. They link to a lot of off-site stuff. They have some original stuff, but they link to a lot of off-site stuff and antiwar.com. They learned this. So they don't use the same headline. It's a different headline. And that different headline and a little summary, and they kind of write about what it is, well, then that makes them look like original content. And it links off into something else, but it has a different... So it's kind of like their opinion on what... Okay, kind of seen as original until they get nailed, and then they start dropping down. They do the same thing with, you know, Prison Planet, InfoWars, Lou Rockwell, Daily Paul, I mean, all the Popular Liberty, all these, and Freedom's Phoenix, they, you know, do this, kind of push it down. Why? Because it's an opinion with supporting evidence. I'm going, look, this opinion is supported from this perspective. When you get the email dispatch and you read that, you'll go, yeah, wow. You know, this, yeah, you could see what's going on. They don't want you to see what's happening. They don't want to have this opinion out there that's aggregated and put together and served up by people that understand. They want robots and Facebook attempts to see what triggers your manipulation of the way you even feel and what emoticons you're using. I mean, you know, seriously, it's a science. It's been going on for a long time. You know, that's one reason why I'm so adamant about the SAFE network, where we get off the man's grid and you kind of do whatever. And we'll do another show on that tomorrow. We're going to be talking about it. So stay tuned for that one. That's going to be, you know, I've been waiting for this for a long time. You know, we're getting close to, you know, nip this freaking new world thing in the bud, you know, here in our minds. Yeah, what they're going to do and advocate, of course, they got a long-term plan. They're going to rule us. But what's the solution? Just education. We know, nah, don't want to do that. Well, we're going to make you. Oh, okay. Let's see how that works out. How much money are you going to spend? How many generations? How many trillions of dollars in the mandatory youth indoctrination? How much propaganda coming out of the Pentagon make it legal of you get to do and surveil everybody? And we know, you know, that what we got to do in Jade Helm, if we got to make you. I'm going, okay. Why do they got to do all that? Because they got to do all that. It's not something that people want or advocate for. They just want to convince you that there's enough people out there that are doing it. And they sure as heck convince you that all the people in government are doing it. So that's where, you know, David Bigo and I would, you know, part ways, is that I'm just not looking for, you know, yeah, but he's a better ruler of me. I don't care. You know, I'm just not, but it'll be interesting. It'll be good to have this feedback, you know, what people are saying and doing and advocating on the trail. Are we going to have presidential debate parties? Are we going to, and what are they trying to do now? They're trying to, Fox News, they're going to have a, well, we got too many candidates. We have the anointed ones. We have the coordinated from these two, and we're going to pick Jeb. You know, since he's not going to do well in the Iowa straw poll, we canceled the straw poll. So we're not doing that Iowa thing, which is a joke anyway. And then we're going to have a second tier debate. Yeah, it's going to be, you're second tier. Maybe you'll move up into the first tier, maybe. You know, but we've got to have a second tier of the candidate. Really? That's what's coming.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Supporting evidence. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Kind of stuff that we put up on Freedom's Phoenix, kind of give you supporting evidence of because I told you so. All right. Here we go. Living Room of Satoshi launches Pay Anyone Bitcoin payment service to any Australian bank account. Now, I'm just going to read you a couple paragraphs here and you kind of get it. Bitcoin users can now pay their friends, tradesmen, and anyone else, even if the recipient has no knowledge about Bitcoin, says Living Room of Satoshi CEO Daniel Alexuk. This is a vital piece of payment infrastructure that is now available to all Australians. Living Room of Satoshi, I don't know why they call it that, but yeah, because, and we're going to try and get these guys on. I'm like, Donna, get them, is a payments company that enables payment of any bill that uses the BPay system using Bitcoin. Now, wait for it. There's a payoff here. Now, just wait for it. Customers can spend Bitcoin to pay phone bills, electricity bills, school fees, credit cards, tax payments, and more. Tax payments, too. Ooh. Founded in 2014, the company has processed more than 500,000 of Australian dollars bills using Bitcoin. BPay is an electronic bill payment system in Australia, which enables payments to be made through a financial institution, online, mobile, or telephone banking facility to organizations which are registered BPay billers. BPay is a registered trading name of BPay Party Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of CardLink Services Limited. Okay, now who's CardLink? CardLink, now keep in mind, anyone in Australia can use Bitcoin to pay any bill, even if the other person doesn't have Bitcoin, pay guy goes through the banks. All right? So they just, you know, done. You got Bitcoin, you moved it. You know what they're saying? They're saying, hey, if you're a gazillionaire with Bitcoin, move to Australia. You can live your life here using Bitcoin. Really? Okay. And BPay is a wholly owned subsidiary of CardLink. Services Limited. CardLink is owned equally by the four major Australian banks. Australia and New Zealand Banking Group Limited, Commonwealth Bank of Australia, National Australia Bank Limited, and Westpac Banking Corporation. Bitcoin, the service, is owned by the banks. And what are they doing? They're all in on this Bitcoin thing. And they're going, so Australia, English speaking, you know, kind of, you know, hot women on the beach. That doesn't suck. Okay. Yeah, for some reason, I think there's a lot more women than men in Australia because of something. You know, the wars, whatever, man. You know, really? Well, I'm a young 28-year-old. I got gazillion dollars in Bitcoin and needing one. And I can go there and live large and kind of whatever I want and live on the rest of my life. Bitcoin, I ain't got to worry about it. Well, sign me up. Here we go. Well, now I think that's good. You're going to start hearing stories about this. And who's running it? The banks. I keep telling you, man. It's a Bitcoin. I can see it's not going to be. It's going to be a surveillance tool of the whatever. But I'm going, yeah, you know, it's being embraced by the. That's why I went and got some Bitcoin. I just said it over here because of stuff just like this. The banks and the government are going to embrace it. They're going to want to control it. They're going to want to analyze it. They're going to want to, you know, change the code. They're going to want to, you know, shoehorn the system into whatever. But, you know, they're definitely going to use the technology. So does that free us? Probably not. So then here comes Eric Voorhees with, you know, Shapeshift. What is it? It's an exchange. You got all the Bitcoin. You can take and go into their exchange and buy some other alternative coins, the other alternative coin, back to alternative, back to Bitcoin, back, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. You know, use their system, do the same thing, and I paid in, you know, with my Dogecoin or my Namecoin or my whatever coin, you know, or dark coin of some coin, cryptocurrency. It gets converted in, takes the payment, and they'll do a service that'll interface with this, and you get to use your alternative coins that you got with your Bitcoin back to the Bitcoin to pay and whatever. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a tapestry of we're off their grid. So I'm going, wow, this is happening. Do you think that there's, what's the presidential debate on this? Is it even going to be asked? Do you think, how many questions are there going to be about the freeing of an entire generation of people around the world using their own people money? How long conversation that's going to be? You know, which talking head of Fox News, CNN, you know, YouTube channel of MTV gets up and says, hey, what's your position on, you know, this thing? Not. It's just happening anyway. I mean, how many of you out there right now would think, you know what? They're going to be able to use Bitcoin, anybody in Australia, for anything. Oh, yeah, and it's supported by four banks that created it. Think it's interfaced? Now, of course, Australia is going to want to do the same thing. They're going to, hey, man, we got to get ahead of this cryptocurrency thing because we got to be able to see where they did and what and what's our cut and who did whatever. It'll be a surveillance thing. But if I'm, you know, a gazillionaire Bitcoin guy, and I know a bunch of these guys saw him at, you know, a Narco Poco, you know, let's think about it. Roger Ver is in Japan. Can't come to America anymore. Kind of, you know, Japan doesn't speak English that much. Well, they probably do. But, you know, I'm going, okay. So he's going, I wonder if I'm going to spend me some time, get me a condo in Australia. You know, see if Roger Ver, come on, send this story to him, and I want to get his comment on this. And is he getting a condo in Australia? Oh, what about Havana? Oh, Cuba's going to come online. Are they going to start doing this kind of stuff? Say, yeah, you just right 90 miles off the coast of Florida. You just come on down here in the tropics and partay with your Bitcoin, and we'll take care of it for you. Oh, yeah, and there's an Australian branch just opened over there, and you can kind of deal with that. This is coming. Is there a vote? Are we going to have to vote for something? You know, it's wallet voting. You know, it's at walletvoting.com. Because I saw this a long time ago. It was like, what, 12 years ago? I'm going, you know, walletvoting.com. I already see where this goes. You know, All right. Just so the FYI, so you know. Now, it's Living Room of Satoshi. Here it is. It's like, you know, a BitPay kind of thing. BPay, pay anyone. Biller code kind of done. Contact. I hit contact right there. Ooh, support at Facebook. See, we go to their Living Room Satoshi Facebook. What does it say? Bank financial institution. Wow. pay any bill with Bitcoin. Grab any Australia bill and pay it now. No fees. No fees. Oh, that should be illegal. Okay, all right, here we go. All right, now what's another sign? Texas to repatriate $1 billion in gold from the Federal Reserve to new state depository. They go, yep, we want our gold back. You know, damn, we're the country of Texas. we're the country of Texas, nation of Texas. Get over with Texas. We have a different mindset of Texas. You're lucky we're in your union and allowed. Heck, our state flag even is red, white, and blue and has a star on it. I mean, you're lucky it's that close. But the other than that, we just Texas. All right. Texas to repatriate $1 billion. Last Friday, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed House Bill 483 into law, which will create a new state-level bullion depository. According to blah, blah, blah TV, representatives from Governor Abbott's office said that under the new law, Texas will repatriate $1 billion in gold from the New York branch of the Federal Reserve to its new state gold depository, which has been unofficially nicknamed Texas's Fort Knox. Now, this was a Kyle Bass thing. There was some, hedge fund of money watching pension universe something. You know, think tank of a group of board of director or whatever. Kyle Bass, that made like $500 million on predicting, you know, selling short some banking, housing, whatever the heck, you know, he's in the news a lot. And he's been going, yeah, here we go. Well, his influence there on that case said, look, man, you need to get your gold. You need to go get it, and put it right back him. Okay? So they did it. Texas is getting their own gold. Now, remember, it was the Hunt brothers back in the 70s who were trying to get a corner on the silver market, and a lot behind that was so that Texas would have a silver-backed dollar or currency. Well, now they're actually doing it with gold. These aren't signs. I don't know what the hell were you looking for. It's coming. Yuck, 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 yuck.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with a chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, last segment, we're going to see how I can really, 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 really do this, go really fast and get through this stuff, really. All right, let's see if I can do it. I'm going to try, because this builds up all week. I'm going to do it. All right, here we go. All right. Now, I'm just going to go through the headlines here real quick. Now, we have, you know, Popular Liberty, the site, ad suspended by Google. Why? Because they don't like the way they report news. That it's kind of, you look at Daily Cause, or you look at some of the Common Dreams, or you look at Raw Story, you look at that. You know, that's okay, but not this way. You know, I'm going, okay, we got that going for us. Police release pre-crime smartphone app. All right? The Swiss police have released a pre-crime smartphone app which warns about users about crimes before they are committed based on criminal prediction software. And when you have a government agency that controls that app, what will happen? They'll just before you had to have, you know, probable cause and a search warrant, all that kind of, hey, the app said, the algorithm kind of pointed out, and we helped it say that, but then it's kind of, we're kicking in the door. What are you doing here? Our pre-crime thing said. Yeah, just wait. Here it comes. News outlets need more inventive business model. News organizations need to become more inventive to arrest a decline in traditional revenue sources, an international survey has warned. Research at Oxford University found that digital subscriptions and online advertising were failing to compensate for the collapse in newspaper sales. Fully 75% of Britons said they would never consider paying for online news. Because they're not looking for online. They know it's all lies. It's spin of the olds. And by the time you see it in the paper, it's already, they're just twisting it. It's going to be opinion. It's going to be individual kind of opinion. It's going to be like Popularity, Freedom's Phoenix. It's, you know, I see it's credibility in the future. We know, how are we preparing for that? We're going to be talking about that at Pork Fest, an entire day's show. I think it's Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember. We're just going to have the guys, you know, monetizing the freedom movement. How are we going to, you know, keep our opinion out and an alternative to, and kind of, you're still going to vote yourself free kind of thing? You know, that's it. We're going to talk about it. Article from 1912, the Rothschilds and Fed creation. Now, what was interesting about this story in the video is that, man, they told you what they were going to do and how. You know, this is what we're going to do. We're doing it. And you just ask them. Man, they tell you, 100 years ago what they were going to do. How are they doing? Pretty good, by their estimation. Model 3 to be offered as sedan and crossover. Now, this is just an article on the new Tesla because of the Gigafactory coming online. It's the batteries that are costing. It's the batteries. Well, so what are they going to do? Ooh, they're making their own batteries. So all of a sudden now these $100,000 cars go down to $30,000. Then what? If they can't, they've already done 500,000, hundreds of thousands of cars. They can't make them fast enough, and then they reduce the cost by half or more. Then what happens? I don't know. We're going to find out. Donald Trump declared $9 billion in assets as he reveals his 2016 plans. Well, how much of that is he going to have to spend to get coverage? Nah, I don't know. Yeah, but he's going to do it as a Republican. So, does he get on the top tier stage? Probably. It'll be fun. It just, I'm exceptional. All right, we'll see. Ford's returning to Le Mans to kick more Euro ass. Now, what was it? The GT40 or something like that they did back in the day. Maybe it says here, what was the original? Yeah, GT40 from half a century ago. They went in like 4 years and they just went in. They kicked everybody's butt. Look at that party car, party. Well, now they're doing a new one. They're going back and they're going to do it again. And this car is freaking party. Man, every kid's going to want that matchbox, which is what happened to GT. I didn't know that was a real car. I was okay. I go, oh, that's real? Ooh, I want one. So this is going to be interesting. And Ford is, we'll see how Ford does. I don't know if they're going to go electric. Now they have the F1Es, the electric formula racers. It's going to get to the point where they're going to say, can't have electric competing against gas because it's not fair to have electric. Really? Is that where it's going? Probably. It used to be steam engines. Remember the old Stanley steamers? They had car races with steam. Then it went to gasoline. And now it's going electric. Which one's going to, win? Well, seems like electric's doing pretty good. Death penalty. The ultimate corrupt big government program by Ron Paul. Let's talk of the, I think it was Arkansas or Oklahoma. They stopped the death penalty. And this issue is starting to come up. And I remember it being a big issue in the 90s to a lot of us young activists. It was like, to give a government entity the ability to kill somebody based on what they say is not ever really a good idea. Just from that standpoint, I'm going, yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. The math that shows humans could live 10 times longer. Now, this has been, there's a lot of things that go on, but whenever your cells replicate, whenever you like every 7 years you get like a new body, when that happens, there's a tag on the DNA that's like a string molecules or something that starts getting shorter and shorter as it gets on, and that's what starts aging. Probably if you can stop that through diet and supplements, and there's a lot of different things you can do, and that's what a lot of study goes into, you can just live longer. Okay, well, there's a lot of different things going on that we're going to live longer. Then what? I don't know. I'd like to do it in a free society. Be better than not. Okay. You don't think that the CubeSats are going to create the entire new network of internet here on the earth of Elon Musk doing the internet bypassing of internet with the CubeSats? Oh, well, maybe you didn't hear. Now NASA has joined a wave of exciting Mars-related news by announcing that the Mars InSight lander will be accompanied by two CubeSats when it launches in March 2016. CubeSats are block-like microsatellites that typically measure 10 centimeters on each side, allowing for 1 liter of volume. The small size and low cost, blah, blah, blah. They're putting an entire, it's called the Mars Cube 1 mission, MARCO. They're going to start to put CubeSats around Mars to do internet for Mars. For Mars. What, you think they wouldn't do it for the Earth? What makes Mars so special if we can't do it for the Earth? Yep, just supporting evidence. Neon, I told you so. The Philae Comet lander just woke up after 7 months. It finally went, getting enough sun, and we're going to, And I found out, I was watching a History 2 Netflix thing on comets and asteroids. I didn't know that comets, a lot of times, are most of them are a lot bigger than asteroids. And they kind of same thing, just, you know, more ice than asteroids, probably a little more rock, but they're kind of, you know, finding they're not a whole lot of difference, just the way the orbits are, whatever. But there's a lot of material there, and we can get nailed with that. So I'm glad that we're, you know, checking them out a little bit more. Maybe the Earth has created human beings to protect it from global extinction event number, God knows how many. You know, you give long enough time, everything goes away. So I'm just going, okay. So maybe we can be the antibodies for Earth. And if we don't make it, we'll be on Mars. Okay, let's do Mars. Here are the three high-tech vehicles vying to replace the Humvee. And they're just like little MRAPs. I mean, these are big vehicles. They're just, why we need them is to rule you. All right, well, check that out. That's on today's page. Larry Page and Elon Musk attended the most important robotics event of the year. And this is after the DARPA Robotic Challenge. And they got a ways to go. I'm sure they got, you know, better stuff they're not telling us about. But what did they do? They brought their kids. The whole thing is about them with their kids going and inspiring the kids if we start our own school kids. You know, it's supporting evidence. Here we go. Gunmaker Colt Defense is filing for bankruptcy. Colt, what, they can't make enough money? Why? What the hell is going on? You know, it starts at zero. Let's go. And the bidding process started. How many? Why? Nothing. Why? Because they got $50 gazillion, you know, in bonds. They went in debt. You want to kill something, you know, control it and take it and, you know, and do a big giant debt thing. Well, they did. They sold a bunch of bonds and now they can't pay them back. And we're done. But they think they win? Well, it doesn't matter to me because I got a ghost gunner. Nah, 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 nah. Well, what we're going to do is one of my friends, Miguel Cartero, Mike the Mailman, he has a group that when we did SAFE together, he did GOLF, Gun Owners Liberation Front. So he and I are doing a video and running it through the process and, you know, how the ghost gunner works and the tutorial to help people that may not be as experienced as I'm experienced because I keep, you know, went through that thing a lot. So I'm going, okay, so now we're going to do also the anodizing, you know, how to etch, you know, designs on the lower and so on, you know, just because we can. So we're going to be doing that. Last chance, Greek bailout talks in without a deal. Yeah, they're going to make a deal, trust me. Instead of admitting drug war defeat, cops up their game and bring in the U.S. military. Oh, with a replacement for the Humvees? You know, see? I mean, it all kind of comes together to support. Oh, the U.S. Navy just tested a giant electromagnetic catapult. Instead of the steam power, they're launching jets. They use electromagnetic catapults. Well, what does that mean? It means you got an electromagnetic rail gun under the deck, which means they can power other rail guns. These have speeds of 60 miles a second. It's almost like a laser. You know, these guys, you know, long over the horizon railgun stuff. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. The stories, all supporting evidence. It's all changing. Where are you going to be?